The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Yeah. Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Eric and I got in at, what, about 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, a little before 2.
But, you know, we got our bumps
here. Was in bed
here
by 2:30.
And we're here to talk about... Why does my mic sound funny?
Because you're talking.
Sounds fine to me.
Now it's good. I just had to turn it up a little bit. I sound a little muffled. So, all right.
Could be stuffy from the late night.
It's a great
too,
start.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So we got a game that we played last night, if you want to call it a game.
Actually, the game was played in pregame warm-ups. Yeah. That was when the real games were being played. Brady, Hernandez, Gronk.
What's his name, Cross, that does the play-by-play?
Randy.
Randy Cross.
What's his name?
Called it something else afterwards. Pig something or another.
Oh, rhymes with luck?
I can't repeat that on air, but that was a particularly ugly...
Puck. Don't get Andy going.
...preseason game.
Snuck.
And,
suck.
You know,
he's teetering.
I'm not even sure if it's
truck.
Is it worth talking about at this point? Or
I think there's probably some individuals that the listeners would probably want to ask about, and if they do, by all means. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty bad game to watch. I'm sure it was even worse for you guys being there. It was tough.
Well, there was
6-3 games are bad enough. 6-3 fourth preseason game.
There was a lot going on in the press box.
Yeah,
none of it
say,
had to do with what was on the field.
The press box deteriorated quickly.
Apparently, Twitter has become the new way to have a cocktail party during the game for the writers.
Emphasis on the first part.
This is the God's honest truth. I'm walking down here to the studio, and I got stopped by an employee in the hallway. It's like, what was going on Twitter last night during the game? I go, what are you talking about? It's like, Andy, Eric, we're having some kind of feud.
No,
like your mother, and you'll never have a woman, and all this stuff. All I could do was just shake my head. I mean, you guys do know that other people see that stuff, right?
Yeah, we're here to entertain.
You should never put anything out there that you don't want anyone to see.
And nothing that we have said on Twitter is anything we haven't said to each other face to face.
Right. Or on this show. To much larger audiences.
Of course. Now, there are times where I say something to Andy upstairs, and then he says it on the air that I don't like that.
That's true. He does do
that. That's different.
You're right.
About certain massage therapists.
You know, we feature your tweets on, you know, the Patriots iPhone app.
Oh, we do?
iPad app and iPhone app.
And that's unfiltered?
We assume that if it's coming from, the two of you, it's okay.
That's not how Twitter works. You don't assume that about anybody.
Well,
Twitter is used as a professional tool and a personal tool.
I can't assume that that's true from our employees.
Is it too late to go back and delete the one I said about his mother?
If you tell me to, I will.
Well, just so you know that other people,
I know
besides
can
the
read
two
it.
Of you are reading it.
I know how Twitter works.
Well, this
I thought that was what you wanted from us was to engage our audience and create a relationship.
In football.
Well, no, that's not what you said. That you had this whole fancy thing we were going to leave voicemails for people.
Don't bring that up again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we had a PFW family of characters. And
we do. But on game day, that family expands rather quite large.
But you know what? I think it was the evening itself. Because everybody was in a weird mood last night. Everyone was sick of preseason. The game was horrible. Nobody was in the mood to talk about football. It was just like, let's get on to Nashville and worry about week one.
Yeah.
Did you know a little known fact that was brought to my attention by a member of the stadium here, that the Revs, Patriots, and Red Sox all scored 3 points. Points, runs.
Right.
Yesterday.
Wow.
When's the last time that happened?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, 3 goals in soccer is a rare event.
And you would think it would get you a win.
Not if you're the Revs.
Wow, yeah, they're going through the
And they really only scored 2, I guess, because one was an own goal. And Shalree Joseph came back to bite him in the butt.
Yeah.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
You introduce Cat?
Ace Ticket Hotline. What's that?
You can introduce Cat?
Cat is here from Chicago.
How you guys doing?
Good. And
I'm already dubbing her the most attractive in-studio lunch buyer ever.
Cat,
with apologies to James.
She's got the intellectual glasses.
Yeah, the interview glasses, I like to call them.
You look like a naughty librarian, maybe.
Ooh,
are you naughty?
That really escalated.
I have been known to be.
Oh.
All right, I'm uncomfortable.
12:06. Fred made me uncomfortable in 6 minutes.
Fred, you know other people hear this show, right? Not just you and Kat.
So the naughty librarian, Kat from Chicago, is here.
The naughty librarian.
She's in town. Now, tell us about your plane, trains, and automobile trip that you've been taking.
Yeah, so I is this enough? Am I close enough?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, closer.
Can I get
that whistle? Get a little closer. Blow my whistle.
All right.
Keep your whistle where it is, okay?
I got up about 4:30.
Today?
Yep, today. Oh. Took a taxi to the airport, took a flight here, got a rental car, drove down here, and then after this I get to bring my rental car back up to Logan and hop on a bus for about 6.5-7 hours, and then...
Where are you going?
A bus from Logan?
Yep, a bus from Logan to Bangor.
Oh, Bangor.
Yep,
I don't
Banga.
Even know her.
Yeah.
So this are you from Bangor?
No, my parents live up in Medibemps, which is like 15 miles from Canada and about 15 miles from the coast.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite a trip.
Yep.
Quite a journey.
Yeah, yeah.
So make sure you eat a lot of lunch so you have all that fuel.
Yeah. It's my yearly pilgrimage, so.
But not too much lunch because you'll be on a bus for 6 hours.
Fortunately, it stops.
Now, why the bus? Why didn't you just keep the rental car? Because
I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't want to drive like either, 8 hours.
Good call by you in Maine, especially.
No puddle jumper flights to Bangor? Or?
Oh, it's super expensive. It's another $500-$600.
Really?
Yeah.
For that short a flight?
Well,
plus,
over Labor Day.
I have this rule against puddle jumpers.
Yeah.
Don't get on them.
No, it's true. They are pretty scary.
You're not flying. She is.
Well, I don't want her to die either.
Yeah. She's more
of a naughty librarian.
No offense. You are very attractive.
Those things crash all the time, and you see a small plane crash in the woods of Maine upon landing or something.
Yeah.
It's always a sad story.
They're usually like maybe 10, 12 rows, so they're not the tiny ones.
So it's what Fred makes us fly to the combine.
But Bangor Airport's only got 4 gates, so it's not like, there's not a lot of traffic in there.
It's like flying to the Cape on those little things where you have to put the luggage in the wings.
Yeah.
You get Joe
Where Paul lies about his weight, and then the plane's going like this the whole way to the side.
Talk about taking planes, trains, and automobiles to make that insult. I mean,
Jesus.
I'm over a neighbor's fence.
So getting back to the game last night, Andy, I'll start with you. What stood out to you, good or bad?
Stood out good or bad? Well, as a guy who's been as critical of Sergio Brown as anyone, he made a couple nice plays on special teams, which that's kind of his role. But then he had that tackle for a loss, which was a nice. Maybe he learned tackling. In the offseason. Maybe he took a course from Nate Ebner or Julian Edelman.
He never had a problem tackling. It's just that he does it when he's in coverage.
No, he had a problem tackling.
He had a problem with pretty much everything involved with the game of football.
He stepped on my joke.
Not last night.
It wasn't a good one anyway. And the other side of that is I know the general analysis is the same old, if Brady goes down, we're effed. I thought Mallett has improved ever since I wrote him off after the first preseason game. And I'm intrigued. Yeah. I'm no longer intrigued by Hoyer. I'm ready to cut him.
He looks like he's gained some confidence.
Just
the way he stands
he's
back
throwing
there.
The ball. Yeah. He's making that first game was abysmal with the throws he made. Since then, it hasn't been great. He's still a 50% passer, and
right.
There's still throws where you say, wow, that was almost picked off and taken to the house every time he plays. But a little bit of an advancement that leaves me wanting to see a little more.
Yeah.
The best thing I could say in terms of Mallett for that would be that it doesn't look – there's no real discernible difference between he and Hoyer anymore. It used to be there was a big difference between the way the play looked in practice. Even this training camp, when training camp started, it looked different when Hoyer had a snap as opposed to Mallett. I asked you, Fred, who you thought looked better, and you paused, and I was like, well, that answers the question.
Right.
Well, I'd actually
one guy's
argue
a second year guy
Hoyer
and one guy's a fourth
worse.
Year guy, and I think that production
Hoyer rolls right and then decides I'm going to run back across the field into the rush.
Yeah, production wise, Mallett's been better.
Mallett is now stepping up, tries to throw. It looks okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that they want to see what Mallett can do because he's been getting the more quality snaps this preseason.
All right, so let's boil it down. I asked this on the pregame social if we could read anything into who started yesterday. Is Hoyer going to get cut?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going yes.
Traded?
Possibly.
To the Cardinals, as I posed last week.
I think all three stay.
I don't think anybody again. Wants
that's
Hoyer.
That's my
I don't
guess.
Either. I think it'd be a tough trade.
Yeah, that's my guess. They keep all three.
I'm going Hoyer cut.
I agree with Kat. I'm not sure that there's a market for
no.
Hoyer.
No, I don't really think there is. That's why I think they'll cut him.
Especially when he hasn't really – he's had the least snaps of all three of them this preseason. And it's tough to get a
– that's how they keep his value up.
Well, if Michael Lombardi had a team,
you know
then
what,
you could
Fred?
Trade
no, but I mean like
I
when,
think you're right.
When Matt Hasselbeck was Favre's backup in Green Bay – for like what, 2-3 preseasons, he would get almost all the playing time, and people were like, "Wow, this guy can really play."
Because Favre wouldn't show up till hunting season was over.
Well, but still, he was the number two. My point is, he was the number two, and he got all the snaps, and he proved himself. And Seattle said, "You know what? We like him. We've seen enough," and he worked out for them. Hoyer has barely played this year, and really hasn't gotten a whole lot of experience in the other preseasons, except for. Or two full games, but
I would argue that he got an opportunity this preseason, and he's had opportunities in the last preseasons. But I agree totally with your point that he's completely unproven and has no meaningful snaps under his belt.
Right.
So, there's a reason why they wanted to get Mallett some extra looks, and they're not probably going to share it with us. But there's a reason why Mallett started against Philly and started last night.
And
there's a reason for that.
I think it makes sense because they did draft the guy in the third round. Hoyer was an undrafted player. I think they want to give their draft pick, their pretty high draft pick,
they need to see
every chance they can to say that we were right in picking you.
Well,
plus you need to make a decision moving forward.
That's more important.
Is Mallett capable of projecting as our backup next year, even if Hoyer stays this year? Hoyer's gone, or do we need to figure some other plan out for next summer?
And if it's that close where you think about it, I think you make the move. I think
I
you save that roster spot.
Save $1 million and change, save a roster spot.
Another guy who was featured last night was Brandon Bolden. Got a lot of carries. I was on the blog during the game, and some people thought he looked okay, that he looked as good as Ben Jarvis Green Ellis did when he first started. Others thought he was just terrible. It was a really wide variety
terrible.
Of opinions on him.
Wow. I was sort of meh, but I don't think he was terrible.
Didn't either. Fred, I think people were overreacting to the muffed punt that he had.
No. It was during runs, particularly I think it was Mark from the UK or something, was really on him. And I was just saying he was looking okay, and the guy was like, are you kidding me?
Well, I think people also went in. We had people thinking he was going to get hundreds plus yards coming into the game. He was going to get all this opportunity because everybody else was hurt or not playing, and he just kind of had an average game. It was nothing to write home about. I think there was a expectation that he failed to meet.
Yeah. I think he likes to make that cut, and sometimes I don't think he needs to. It's not like Maroney where he'd get the happy feet, but sometimes you just put your nose in there and go forward, and a lot of times he would see one guy plugging a hole and then he would cut into traffic,
What is it?
It's always on his mind.
You really
mind.
Are such a child.
It's always on his
Kat
mind.
Kat thought it too.
But she didn't giggle out loud like a schoolgirl.
She will soon.
So I think he's got some good natural talent. There's no doubt. I think he's thinking a little bit too much right now. I think if he just went ahead and plowed ahead, I think he'd be a lot better off.
Well, he's very much developing. I mean, he had the injury. He had limited, kind of lost his job because of the injury, limited chances last year. And, I mean, 15 carries and I got it right here, however many.
59.
36 carries in the...
What? Oh, I thought you meant last night.
36 carries in four games. I mean, that's not a ton of carries. No. So he's still in that evolution. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he makes the roster, if they think there's enough there, A, that they want to develop him, and B, that they can't get him on the practice squad. I don't know, really, at this point. I would think you could get him on the practice squad, but who knows? He might be on this team.
Jermaine Cunningham, I think, did nothing to hurt himself last night. In fact, continued to impress.
Continued his best stretch as a Patriot.
Not if you listen to Bill Belichick afterwards, though. I mean, last week when our friend Mark Capello asked about Ryan Mallett.
Your friend.
I'm only kidding.
Your Republican friend.
Wow. He gave, you know, Bill was in a sour mood after that Tampa game, and then when Mark asked that question about Mallett, his demeanor completely changed, and he gave a glowing assessment. And he usually doesn't do that about individual players in the preseason.
Especially right after a game.
Right. He was asked about Cunningham after a really, you know, legitimately good performance, and gave you the standard, well, I can't evaluate a single player.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
And so we did it again. So
Kevin's going crazy in there.
Anyway, now Eric's going to sulk for the remainder of the show.
No.
See what we deal with, Kat? He's more of a bitch than you've ever met among your girlfriends.
He chose not to talk about Cunningham after the game. But
was sour about it.
I'm going to take the good side to that. You know what that says?
He expects he's buying more out of him.
Yeah. You can give Mallett the summer, you know, pat on the back because he's just about done. That's all he's going to get. He won't get another pat until next offseason or whatever. Cunningham, maybe he's seen enough to say, he's going to be a contributor, and I need him to keep building on this. I don't want him to think, oh, okay, now, you know, I had the offseason, I came in pretty good shape, and I'm good enough to compete. He was out there making some plays, but he's got a long ways to go. So I'm taking that as a positive. He thinks he's going to be a contributor.
And he really, I don't know how he does it, but he tends to hurt guys when he tackles them, quarterbacks. You know, Carr came up with a bloody mouth. He hurt Vic's ribs in the other game he hurt the guy. So... He packs a wallop.
I don't know the third.
He packs a wallop.
What was the third guy that got hurt?
It was in Tampa, right? Didn't he?
Was that one of the offensive linemen?
No.
The guy who broke his kneecap?
Yeah.
No, I
thought. Davin Joseph.
Davin Joseph.
I thought he knocked around Freeman. I'm not sure.
I don't remember anybody getting in the vicinity of Freeman in that game, to be honest with you.
Well, I know
he's had a good summer.
Yeah.
We don't need
He's had a good
embellish
summer.
It.
He's had his best.
And you were on it, Fred, first. He's. Bigger cut. He got in shape this offseason.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said this on the air, but Ian Rappaport believes he was very much hurt, Cunningham, by the lack of the offseason last year, that he's a guy that, quote, needs direction. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe he got back in the program this year. He won the award as an offseason guy. Maybe that's why we're seeing a little bit of a jump here.
Jeff Demps got some chances yesterday. And you got to admit, the guy gets from point A to point B really fast.
That's because he's really fast.
You know, so, I mean, he didn't break any punts, but he got consistently 10 or 11
Came
yards.
Came close on a couple.
He had one screen pass where he was a cut away from breaking past two safeties and taking it to the house, and his feet came out from underneath him. Got dinged up a little bit later in the game. Looked okay afterwards. He talked a little bit, which is usually a sign of the Patriots. If you're really hurt, they don't. Like you
they
to
hide
talk.
You.
Yeah, but he was okay.
But what I didn't like is, I don't know if you followed it on Twitter, a lot of snide remarks from reporters out of Florida, and I don't, may have been like Alex Marv, like there's a few people that were getting kind of retweeted. Oh, here, there's a surprise. He's nicked up after a game. Oh, you got the Demps that was at Florida. Like a lot of this snide that he must always do this, have to have something looked at after the game.
There's
but
some
he's
negatives with
play.
Him that are concerning.
He was legitimately hurt, though. When he was trying to do the jogging on the sideline, and he was trying to cut off of that right leg. He was dealing with something.
Yeah,
that,
but they're all dealing with something.
Oh, I don't
the
tell
tone of these tweets is
that he's always dealing with something.
But he'll play, because, I mean, he played in 50. He didn't miss much time at Florida.
You know what? Ellis Hobbs was like that. Ellis Hobbs was always getting hurt, but always coming right back in the game and playing.
But he'd tell you.
Well, he would too.
That's true. It was the third vertebrae that I tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't.
But I don't think you can get mad at a guy if he gets hurt and continues to play.
I got mad at James Ahedebo last year.
I was going to say, you know, the country at large, you know, resented Steve McNair when he played for the Titans and hates Ben Roethlisberger partly. I mean, we all know the other stuff why they hate him, but they hate him because he's a drama queen too, and he is.
But if a guy's legitimately hurt and he's going back out there and
playing. They're all legitimately hurt. That's the issue. Yeah, they all have pain. They're not injured.
There's no one out there that's not legitimately hurt.
I know. There's a difference between pain and injury.
He's still taking a roster spot. You know what I mean? You still are carrying the guy.
Right.
As a fan, if he's going to be on my roster, I want to see him play. Right. You know, I don't want him nicked up all the time. I want to see him go for it.
Pussyfooting around. Oh, my ankle hurt.
Yeah, I wasn't as – I was very excited to see him back there for all the punts last night because I think if that's something he can do, that's intriguing. But he didn't blow me away last night.
Well, there was one punt
– No, he had that terrible dancing one.
Well, but there was one punt that I thought he did a pretty good job tracking it in the air. It took him over to the sideline and – It wasn't an easy punt to catch, and he made the catch.
That to me was the exciting part of last night was the fact that Bill had him out there as much as he did on punts. I mean, we knew he could do the kicks.
He was also very heads up on the one that Bolden mishandled.
Yeah,
he was right there to
he was right there. He got that. That was awful looking for Bolden.
That really was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a punt returner.
But I would agree with that. He's not a punt returner, so that didn't bother me very much in terms of him. Individually.
Right. I think he'll be on the practice squad.
That's not why he's going to make a Bolden. Not make the team.
I think he might make the team.
He's got a shot.
Depending on how Vereen and Ridley are,
they're all
he
hurt.
Might have to. Yeah.
They're all hurt, you know, just as insurance.
With all this injury stuff, I don't know if you guys saw any of this, but there's some word trickling out now from the NFL guys, Jason Cole, Albert Breer, and those guys. It looks like the NFL and NFLPA have agreed to move that trade deadline in
it's a done deal.
The whole whatchamacallit with IR, so possibly you might have someone that can, you know, that can fill into that.
Well, I need to see more of the language though. Remember it was dubbed a
the reason why
significant player whatever the word was. Now, can you spin that Jeff Demps, who's been here for a week and a half, is significant. A significant player?
Yeah. He is if your top two are out.
You know, I don't like it's another case of NFL having vague language that what does it mean? Bill Belichick would probably say, you know, he had that comment to Randy Cross, everybody that's on this 75 is a good player. So Bill Belichick believes these are all significant players that they can all play. If they wanted more than that, then the league should have specified a guy who started X number of games the year or something. You can't just say significant.
I don't really understand why there has to be a stipulation. It should be your choice. With the guy that you want to do it to, fine. But the reason it took so long is because as another reason to sort of, you know, get on the NFL a little bit, they tried to jam in some stuff extra with it with the NFLPA. You know, let's get this and let's also let's make some alterations to the practice rules. Well, that was collectively bargained. Why are we looking to add that in there? That's why the NFLPA hasn't signed off on this until now, because they were looking to get other things in with this.
I thought that was the other way.
Sort of backdooring.
The players were trying to put something in.
You know, that's the way it's been portrayed here. Now, you know, obviously we're not involved in the meetings. It could be the other way. You might be absolutely right, Andy. But in either regard, whichever is to blame, that's why it took so long.
That's the way the world works.
You know,
ever see Congress?
Earmarks. I mean, that's right.
Pork.
Bridges.
Right. All right. Webradio at patriots.com.
508-298-0398
is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Who else? I mean, the wide receivers, there was nothing to talk about.
Well, they didn't have any. That's why they started the game with, running back, running back, running back.
My lead story in the game notes was about
was my
center
mother.
Position.
Yeah.
But no.
Connolly. Took a lot of snaps, and then Wendell came in.
No, Wendell started the game.
Wendell started?
First two series. Copen came in for one series. Connolly then came in for two, maybe three series. And then Donald Thomas, who hadn't played center at all, played the rest of the game there.
Copen came back in.
Played the fourth quarter. Well, in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter for a while.
I don't know how long in the fourth quarter. But
it wasn't very long, though. I don't think.
I didn't take it as a good sign, though.
Well, in the beginning, you could kind of make the argument, well, Copen's established. He just got in for his little cameo, and now he's done. But then when he comes back in later in the game, because you have two other guys who could have easily done that.
And that's what Paul and I were discussing. All along, we went with the theory that if he was going to be cut, he would have been cut the other day. You know, the veteran go find another job. We respect you. But Paul said maybe they didn't know if he was going to get cut. Maybe he was literally still up in the air.
And you after know, the game, he zoomed out of the locker room and refused to talk to anybody.
It's kind
of
like,
I hope they cut him.
It's kind of like the Kerry Taylor thing that we were talking about on Tuesday. You know, there's two ways of looking at it. I only looked at it one way, and Andy looked at it the other way, too.
I'm open-minded. I try to see all sides.
You know, I just thought they brought a guy with some familiarity with the system that was here, however briefly, last year to play last night. And, you know, Andy puts out, or they could be, you know, intrigued by him and seeing if they can find something, you know, that became available. So, Copen, I was on board fully with it. If he was going to get cut, he would have gotten cut on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, after watching him play last night in the fourth quarter, I'm not so sure. I think there's still a value.
He's probably not so sure either. That's probably why he ran out.
That's why he ran out.
Still
a
value. You don't have anything nice to say. He said, I'm going home.
Right.
All right.
He can be a little.
He actually.
Oh, pissy?
He can be a little.
Oh, yeah.
Bilo actually asked him, hey, Dan, you got. And he said, I. And he just.
I would
literally
be too,
what
by
is
the way.
Responsible.
If I were playing while all my like friends and teammates were screwing around on the sideline, I would be sulky, pissy, bitchy afterwards, no doubt in my mind.
There's no question I would.
All right, well, I know you would.
Let's take a quick break.
No matter what
we come
you
back,
are,
we'll
when
get
you
to
do
the
play.
Phone lines and some more of your emails on PFW in Progress.
I love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new two-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
but
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
You
didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
I don't know why that was so funny. Anyway, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're talking about last night's preseason game four, thank goodness, Patriots against the Giants, a 6-3 win by the Giants. I couldn't believe how many people on the blog were like, oh, I just wish the Patriots would win this game. It would be, you know, a little bit of a, you know.
Yeah. About the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it means nothing. I don't care. I don't care if the Patriots win 100-0 tonight.
You're not getting another Lombardi out of it.
It's not going to relieve the angst from those two losses at all.
Nope. What if they knocked Manning out for the season?
No, not at all.
You don't get a Lombardi out of it.
Yeah.
He'd be the only one happy about that.
No, not me. Let's go to the phones.
You
the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Oh, good. That's good. I know why we feel that way, man, because we can't beat the Giants no matter which way we look at it.
Well,
the last four games, they've been whooping our butts all up and down the field. It doesn't make a difference. We just want to whoop them at least once.
not in preseason.
This one truly doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Yeah. No, it don't make a difference, true enough, but it's just that sense that they own us, man. Whether it's regular season, Super Bowl, whatever, they own us.
They do right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, now getting back to the question, right? I think that running back did pretty good. We just had a sorry line. And,
Bolden?
Paul, I disagree with your assessment on Axe PSW when Jabbar wrote in why they cut him.
Yeah.
Did you use that question?
Yes.
He ain't going to tell me Holly and the other guy is better than Jabbar Gaffney.
No.
They're all similar in that they're
those
not
going
to be on the team.
Those guys needed to play last night. That's why they were still on the team. The guys that are still here, it's not an indication that they're better than Jabbar Gaffney. Jabbar Gaffney couldn't play last night. They needed Jesse Holly and Kerry Taylor to play.
In hindsight, they would have been better off had Holly not played. But
they've been better off if they had Stallworth and Jabbar and cut the other ones. I can't see.
But they wouldn't have played last night. They needed players to play in the game last night.
Okay, maybe I'm missing that point. But still.
Gaffney's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, Stallworth isn't.
Yeah. No. He's getting a tryout with the Dolphins, supposedly, today.
Maybe he'll run his 4-2-40.
But what I've seen in that defense, I know they were second year. You know, they're not the starting defense, whatever. You know, except for Rajah Dowling and Moore, they couldn't cover the number twos better. So I'm thinking we're in trouble because most likely they're going to be on the team. You know, they're going to be backups. Or, you know, come in on a special occasion. If they can't cover twos, you know, I don't get it either. You know, like we'll be in trouble again in the back half.
Well,
that's what I think.
Can I play your role for a second, Fred?
Go ahead.
We gave up 6 points last night. What is there to criticize defensively? The Giants had one sustained drive the whole game, and that was the first drive of the second half. And they ran the ball every play.
I'm just saying the coverage-wise, man.
The coverage was great.
Coverage-wise.
It was great. The coverage was
Eldridge,
great last night.
This
wasn't
the
great
NFL.
On that Victor Cruz
no,
play.
No team.
I'm not saying every single play, yeah. But, I mean, for the most part in that game last night, and by the way, if the, you started the show, Freddie, by saying, you know, what things were you encouraged by as opposed to...
Right.
One of the things I was encouraged by was our young guys competed very well against some of the Giants' starters.
Yeah, and Eldridge, in the NFL, no team shuts down any other team's passing game. Not for a whole game. It just doesn't happen.
But look, I mean, look at the game last night.
Yeah.
They literally had one drive in that game, and it was all on the ground. One guy ran it seven times for like 50 yards on their field goal drive to open the second half. It wasn't coverage.
Well, I'm seeing 15 yards give up, 12 yards giving up on a pass play.
Every once in a while, but that's going to happen.
I mean, yep.
Not a lot you didn't see it last night.
No, not a lot.
They only had about 200 total yards.
But Cunningham, I agree with y'all. I think he helped himself this time.
Oh, sure.
I think he helped himself.
Yeah.
But that's all I got.
Okay, thanks, Eldridge.
I think the bigger he was kind of circling, or I'm worried about Rozai Dowling.
Well,
he
that's
has kind of fallen down the depth chart in the last.
Well, is
two
it
and a half
is
weeks.
It that, or they just want to get him as many reps as possible?
That's a positive spin on it. That certainly is.
I mean,
yeah, I think if you wanted that, you'd have him out there at the beginning, and
well,
they don't.
Hasn't he been playing throughout?
Not against Tampa. He played late against Tampa.
He has been with the. Some of the guys who didn't play against Tampa played. He's in that other group, kind of,
yeah.
Which is not where he started the summer, and which not where he was last year in the beginning of the season. He was supposed to be your starting right cornerback opposite McCourty. I'm not sure he is right now. The only good thing you say about him is, well, at least he's been healthy.
He's
for
healthy.
All the snaps.
He's been out there. To my knowledge, I don't think he's missed a snap.
That's the only thing you can
due to injury.
Do you think Belichick's just trying to motivate him? You know, you have to work yourself up to playing with the first team. Or?
No, because he was with the first team. He's been working down.
If
that were the case straight out of camp, I would say, yeah, they're making him earn his spot. We're not Kyle Arrington had seven picks last year. We're not giving his job away. But it looked like they kind of wanted to give his job away until they stopped giving it away.
Yeah. They also don't have the luxury to do that. If they were a good defense with, you know, an established group of secondary players, they might be able to say, you know, let's treat him that way, but they can't. They need to put their best guys out there.
But how has Rozai Dowling fared? I mean, we haven't heard his name, which
I think
is a good thing.
I think he struggled badly.
Well, but, I mean, I haven't really seen him, you know.
He hasn't, like, you know, given up all these bombs, but I don't think he's covered well. I still think he looks stiff. I still think he struggles with his fluidity, and I think that's because he's kind of a tall, muscular, angular guy, and he's not. I keep saying to Bucky Jones. I think he's to Bucky Jones.
Yeah, he does remind you a little bit.
You know, and the part of that I do agree with Eldridge overall for the summer would be him and Moore, I think, have struggled. And Moore, I think, has been gradually on the decline lately. The last couple of games, they all blend together here. It's been a week for three games, you know, basically 10 days. I think he's been on the decline, and I think what Andy said about Dowling, I would agree with.
When Paul said that last night during the game, I said, well, you know, Sterling Moore, he really shows up in December and January.
He's a big game player.
He needs the pressure of the big games to really make plays.
All right, let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com. Donald in Vancouver.
Fred not amused with that.
Writes in, some quick thoughts on a few players from the first half of Wednesday's game. Unfortunately, he got pulled away for the second half.
Ebner. No, fortunately for you.
Yeah, fortunately.
Ebner always seemed to be around the ball, very instinctive for someone new to the sport. Looked like a legitimate backup safety option, and his versatility should make him a lock for the 53-man roster. I think he makes it.
Oh, yeah, he's a lock for the roster.
I think he's a lock.
As Paul had pointed out, on the Victor Cruz play, he was the guy who bit up. Even though the coverage wasn't, he's the safety, the last line, and he bit up and had to chase. If you do that against Peyton Manning, not Eli Manning, he's probably going to hit him in stride
for
a touchdown.
I would even say if that happens in a regular season situation where there's a little bit more timing involved, I think that probably is a touchdown. Even then, bad throw.
I actually don't think he's going to play, though. I mean, I think he is in the land of Matthew Slater.
He's going to make the team.
He's better than Slater, but if he's playing, it means stuff has gone bad at safety in the secondary.
Bolden showed some exciting explosiveness, but a little too inconsistent at this point. Needs more time to develop. But I'm excited to have him on the practice squad moving forward. Moore, not a great outing for him as a slot corner against the Giants' first team offense. In fairness, Cruz is definitely better than a middle-of-the-pack wide receiver. Demps showed flashes in other phases of the game beyond kickoff return. Excited to see if he builds on his special team's ability to become a contributing member of the offense moving forward. And showed great instincts given his time away. He is just a football player, as some would say. Saw some tweets regarding a possible injury to Dems, but I've not seen any clips. Is this a concern? We talked about that earlier.
Oh, he missed the second half, this emailer. So that's when,
right.
That's when Dems
It was
got
late
hurt.
In the fourth.
Late in the game.
Yeah.
But all reports are that it's minor in nature.
And he said, right?
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
I'll be fine.
Sometimes guys lie.
Sometimes they do, but I don't think they would have let him talk if he was seriously hurt.
Maybe
as we've seen before.
Did they get MRIs immediately?
He did down to the X-ray room. I saw him go in.
But I mean, they get it read too. Immediately. Does Dr. Gill go down there and read them? And
yeah, I don't know if they have an MRI there.
I would think they would at
really?
MetLife Stadium, a brand new facility.
I guess they do now with the concussions and all that stuff.
Yeah. Something not to take for granted. All the flights that we have to take. According to Schefter, Dolphins who played last night against the Cowboys. On their way back, the team plane backed into another plane, damaging the wing of the Dolphins plane. The entire travel party had to get off, wait for another ride before they got back to Miami.
Wow, that stinks.
That's not exactly. Gary Guyton had tweeted something earlier, and he made it sound like mechanical difficulties, and to which to me is like, we had to grease something or.
That's more than mechanical, yeah.
That's
technically it's yeah
on the runway.
I don't know if I know of any two planes colliding on the ground. I'm sure it's happened.
I
don't remember stories about it.
Russ in England.
Yeah, better than colliding in the air.
Yes. Russ, Paul, good point by you.
Positive Paul.
I'm always looking to put a bright spot.
This year you guys have been championing the idea, led largely by Andy, that Welker's catchers are going to decline, largely replaced by Hernandez and Lloyd. Now, this is well-founded in footballing common sense, but I'd like to remind everyone of another piece of footballing common sense that Andy championed last year.
Uh-oh.
That also included Hernandez.
Can't end well.
Andy correctly identified how good of a blocker Gronkowski is and believed that he would get screwed because he would have to block more and go out for less passes, and Hernandez would benefit. After this prediction, Gronkowski had the greatest season by a tight end ever. If that trend continues, Welker is going to have the greatest season by a wideout ever. Move over, Jerry. There's a new greatest of all time.
How do you know Gronk wasn't going to have 25 touchdowns last year and he was in blocking all those times?
That's Andy Hart right there. That's the epitome of Andy Hart.
Wyatt, I'm okay being wrong on that.
Wyatt Dodge, the Alaskan Cowboy, writes in, what's Jake Beckett's role in this team this year down the line?
Great question.
Making the team because he's a third-round pick.
Yes, and only contributing if necessary.
Yeah. Why has he not been playing? Because I've been
great
looking.
Question.
He didn't play at all last night.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Well, he played a little. Yeah, he played. And, I mean, he had that one flash in the Saints game, the end, in what I like to call Trevor Scott time.
Yes.
But he hasn't really done much. And it looked like last night he was involved in the snafu on the
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, he actually looked like he truly, honestly believed he didn't F it up. So sometimes when you get in these preseason games and guys are in and out,
sure.
There's always a chance that he really was supposed to be in, but he said, all right, I'll run off. And the guy who wasn't supposed to be in stayed on the field. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little hesitant to say 100% it was his fault, but he was involved in that. He hasn't been good. He hasn't flashed very much. He hasn't.
And
for a guy who should be a flasher, a
situational
rusher.
And the lack of opportunities, to me, is telling.
But he's not going to get cut as a third-round pick.
No.
I wouldn't think so.
Unless he has a Hellenic hamstring, as Paul says.
Well, I was going to bring that up, and you and I saw one day that
Greek?
He clearly was dealing with something, right?
When? Last night?
One day in practice, you and I were watching him come off the field, and we said he's clearly dealing with something physical.
Okay. I'll go with it.
You don't remember?
Nope.
Okay. Then there's no need to really bring it up. But I think there's...
Did he take his knee brace off?
Maybe a little groundwork for the Hellenic hamstring.
I think they just allow it.
No, I'm saying maybe he is a little bit hurt, and that's why he hasn't played as much.
Oh, okay.
Jess writes in, is it just me, or did the football gods make last night's game as painful to watch as possible? Felt like one last test of faith before being rewarded with the regular season, and I think I aged a good 5 years while watching. Anyway, I want to talk DBs a little bit.
I don't understand this mentality of watching these games and aging 5 years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you, if you're going to watch that game, wouldn't you just like sit back? You don't have
any
of that. You don't have any of that angst exactly. That you would in a close game in a real game. You just kind of watch and you're like, that Nate Ebner, he's always around the ball. Yeah. And
right. It's almost like watching a training camp.
This guy's got a little something. Jeff Dems, he can fly. That's how I would watch the game.
You're watching an opportunity portion of training camp practice.
Of course, I wouldn't be watching, but that's another argument.
I thought Dennard looked good last
yes.
night, whereas Sterling Moore looked what Bill would describe as competitive. Meaning he was in the vicinity of the play but never making the play. Are these guys fighting for the same spot? I know Moore has some position versatility with being able to play safety. That was a hell of a hit he put on McCurdy last year. But does one of them
play a bigger special teams role? Do you guys see both or just one or neither of them on the final 53?
I think they're both on the 53.
I do, too. I thought Dennard played well, though. I thought he played every snap, first of all, which is a nice addition to the game books, Fred. I don't know if you've noticed. They now include snap totals and percentage of play time in the NFL game books. But I thought he looked – he has this
Let's
thing.
Hope they're accurate.
Mike Reese somewhere is
– The substitutions have not been accurate on any
no,
of these game books.
They've screwed those up a number of times. But, well, I'm going to call it accurate either way. I'm going with that as fact. I have this thing I look for in corners, and it's probably stupid layman, but when they're playing bump and run or press coverage, and you know they do it, you know they're 3-5 yards off. I like guys, and this is a weird thing, who just almost let the guy get to him. It's like they're so comfortable and confident in their speed, their ability to bump him off his route, and their recovery ability that there's no fear. Whereas I think you see guys who aren't confident. Start to open up or he'll take a half a step back. It's like his feet were in mud. I'm not moving these. I'm not afraid of you. You're not going to run by me, and we're just going to deal with this right now. And I like that. I like what I've seen from him in a limited opportunity.
Bill,
I also like his build. He's a little stocky, a little pocket Hercules.
I was going to say I like the build, too, but I figured Andy would call me an Eric.
a Trader Joe's rep.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
What?
Bill and Eddington.
It's Andy that would have called you that, not me. Coming you from not you. Listening? I said Andy.
Yeah, yeah,
what, a
yeah,
muscle
yeah,
hamster?
I know what you, I thought a you said you hamster. Were all right, Spider.
Bill and Eddington, Maine says, did you see the sack on Manning last night from Jermaine Cunningham? Talk about Boner City. Do you think he'll make a big impact this year in situational running rushing?
Relax.
I hope so.
No. I mean, he might. I think he's had a great
I think that's exactly where he might make
well,
an impact.
But I saw an entire regular season when he didn't.
Well, yeah, will he make an impact doing it was the question.
I think so.
I think he'll be used in that role.
I think he'll get 5 or 6 sacks.
Oh, all right. Okay, then maybe.
I mean, that's an impact, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an impact. I just don't know that I'm going to say it. I don't want to get, you know, too excited about, you know,
no, he'll have
action
those
against
Jarvis
backups
Green
in the
sacks,
preseason.
You know?
I mean,
well, that is an addition to his repertoire.
See, I don't
one sack last night came out of the defensive tackle spot.
Yes.
And that's a new wrinkle, and he may win those battles, and he may benefit just from that role no longer being filled by Mike Wright or Jarvis Green, and he should win those battles inside.
Right.
I could see him doing something like that. I don't look at Jarvis Green as having been an impact pass rusher, though. So that's where I think we kind of
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So I'm kind of pleased by what I've seen by the defense yesterday, even though the offense didn't look very good. And what do you guys think? Do you think that we finally made some improvements on the defense, or do you think that the people that we've played from the Giants' defense were second stringers, and therefore we shouldn't read too much into it?
I mean, Hakeem Nicks was out there, Cruz was out there, Manning was out there for a while, Bear Pasco was out there.
It's preseason,
you know,
so I wouldn't put it,
Bennett.
It's preseason, so I wouldn't put anything into it, only because I don't know what teams are doing.
The only thing you can really read into is who didn't play, who didn't suit up, because those guys have guaranteed themselves jobs, basically.
Yeah.
But it's also getting beat, regardless of what's going on, is always worse than not getting beat. So if they didn't try anything, if they used only 3 plays and
totally
beat you,
agree.
That's bad.
Totally agree. I started off, I am very encouraged by what I've seen defensively all summer. I think they've been much more competitive.
Better than last year. Yeah.
Much more competitive defensively, and I'm excited about that. But for the same reason, I have no fear whatsoever based on what I've seen about the offense. I am not going to go overboard of what I've seen about the defense. I don't think that the offense is in trouble. And they have not had one good quarter of play offensively the entire summer.
Yeah.
But I'm not concerned about it because I don't know what we're doing. I don't know if we're trying to, you know, find matchups and look to exploit things and whatnot. I think we're just out there playing.
And this was my next question, Paul. I mean, in preseason, usually I assume that we don't open our kimonos to show all the screens, the strategy that we're going to be implementing in the regular season.
That's always a good tack to take. I agree. Don't open your kimono. Absolutely.
Have you seen an improvement?
It is really a kabuki dance out there. So, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Did you like the kimono dance, Andy?
Not really.
No, I didn't even get the hell you're talking about.
Have you seen an improvement in terms of the offensive style from O'Brien to you guys?
It's too early.
Early?
No, I mean,
plus what offensive style? Last night he had no receivers and a couple running backs, so he came out and ran 8 straight plays to the running backs.
And Brady's even said it's the same playbook. that they've had since Charlie Weiss's.
Right. That's why Jeff Demps goes, yeah, a lot of it is the same as what Charlie was teaching me.
Yeah. He did great last night, I thought. Hopefully he didn't get injured, but he's got a great, great energy and great speed. It's nice to see him on the field.
Yeah, I thought one of the best plays he had, and Randy Cross talked about this, was that play where he didn't get thrown down like a rag doll. He kind of fought to stay in bounds and got a couple extra yards. That's good to see, because I think that's one of the things he needs to prove, that, you know, Woodhead breaks a couple tackles here and there, an arm tackle. He doesn't just go down on the first, you know, fingernail that touches
him. And that's one of the real
knocks
on him.
I want to see Demps do that. And he didn't fumble.
That is true. That's true. All right, guys.
All right, Olivia.
All right, thanks for the call.
Tell your mom I said hi.
Party like a Viking.
Nick is in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good to have you back on the show.
It's negative Nick.
Nick's going to yell at Andy for a while. This will be good.
Is he a PPGS contributor?
Hey. It's a family show.
Yeah, coming from you, right?
We have a lady present today.
Yeah, there's a lady in the room. Say hello to Kat.
Hi, Kat. I apologize. Andy brings out the worst in everybody around him.
That's okay. I knew what I was in for today.
I like this Nick guy already.
Okay, this is good. All right.
Nick rhymes with dick.
Very good,
just
Andy.
Just go.
Eric, I can finally understand why you hate him so much. Anyway, so we saw the game last night, and we know that a lot of these roster bubble players are only going to make the team because of their special teams ability. And I hate to admit it, but Sergio Brown looked good on special teams. Are we in danger of him making the 53-man roster this year?
No,
I think so. No.
He looks good. They like him as a special teamer, and we've proven over the years we're not good at judging special teamers. They paid Matthew Slater. They made him a captain. I've given up trying to figure out exactly who they love as a special teamer.
Listen, one of those guys is going to stick. I had a Hedebo being the guy. Maybe Sergio Brown sticks instead of a Hedebo. Malcolm Williams is also a guy who has made some really good plays on special teams all summer.
And he played the most snaps, I believe, according to the NFL playbook.
Maybe he sticks instead of both of them. I don't know. But one of those guys is going to make the team. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you got to give Sergio Brown. We criticize him a lot on this show. You got to give him credit for what he did last night. It's a desperate situation for a third-year guy playing in the fourth preseason game, and he showed up.
Yeah, Malcolm Williams played 86% of the special team snaps to lead the team yesterday.
There are far too many players on this roster who are special teams.
Right, but they pay those. They like those.
I know, but...
But I mean, Nate Ebner is supposed to be just a special teamer, and he's showing flashes of more.
Who?
But Nate Ebner, every once in a while, they actually get a lot. Like Malcolm Williams, we didn't think that he was ever going to contribute, but Nate Ebner's come in here. He's already shown that he might actually be a starter, potentially.
Well, I don't know about a starter.
Let's not put the cart before the horse, but he's been a nice surprise.
Now.
He's definitely shown more than Malcolm Williams ever has.
Right, yeah, absolutely. What I'm just saying is that every once in a while, these special teamers become more. Sergio Brown is not a potential starter, neither now nor ever. He's only going to be a special teamer.
I agree with Nick's premise, too.
Thank you, yeah.
But the issue is, I would say that none of them are defensive players. I don't want a Hedebo on the field at defense.
Not this year, certainly.
I don't want Malcolm Williams on the field on defense. So they're all battling in the same situation, which is the best special teamer. Because none of them are developmental prospects, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Well, fingers crossed it's not Brown. See you guys later.
All right, Nick. Thanks for the call. Nick in San Diego.
I like the way you put that. We're not in danger of Sergio Brown making the roster, are we?
I think we might be.
All right. Food is here. Presented by Kat. Thank you very much. I believe you're responsible for all this. So thank you very much, Kat. We'll take a quick break. We'll stuff our faces, and we'll be right back with a lot of your emails.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back. tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new two-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
We have fouls by both teams during the kick. We have illegal shift by the kicking team. After the kick...
The other guy's telling them both on the kicking team.
Then after the kick, we have a 15-yard penalty. Chosen to re-kick, 5-yard penalty.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Are they both enforced? So it's after the kick.
After the kick.
So they're marking off the five.
Now the whistles blow again.
A correction on the reporting of the foul.
Okay.
Both teams were on the... Both up... Both fouls were on the kicking team. 5-yard penalty.
Okay. I got nothing on that.
Okay.
Nobody knows what's going on. Right now, Bill Belichick is looking across the field at Tom Coughlin. And Tom's looking back at him, saying, what the heck are we getting ourselves into next week? Look at Belichick's
face. Both fouls were committed by the kicking team.
You can't believe
first
it.
Foul was an illegal shift by the kicking team. The second foul, after the kick, was a personal foul face mask. Of course, the 5-yard penalty and re-kick.
It's just utter miscommunication.
The game was rolling along pretty fast there for a while, but sorry about that, folks.
All right, yes, of course, that was a little snafu there with the refs. You know, I really do want to defend these guys. You know, I hope if it comes to the point where they are reffing during the regular season that, you know, they do an okay job. I don't want these guys to fail if they're out there. I want them to do well. So I feel bad. And we've seen equally bad with the regular refs.
Right, and that's funny to point at, and they screwed it up, and it took a long time, but it didn't really change the game, and it didn't. You know, I keep hearing, you know, injury, player safety. I don't understand how officials are going to hurt players.
That's the part that I don't like.
I don't understand that at all. The only way I could see that is if they suddenly ignore chop blocks and they say, you know, we're just going to allow chop blocks all the time. Because if a guy gets hurt on a chop block and they call it, okay, they called it. He's hurt. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it, but he's already hurt.
Yeah. You know, and I guess the
referees
theory
don't prevent anything. They just enforce the rules.
Yeah. Unless they have no control and they, you know, fights start breaking out and it's just pure chaos.
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
We haven't seen that.
Maybe the theory is that these players are going to go out there with no respect whatsoever for the authority and it's going to be a rougher game. But if that happens, that's on the players. That's not the officials' fault.
Right.
And that's not the situation's fault. Now, listen, I was one that I've been sort of, as you said, Fred, I want to defend these guys, and I've been very defensive of these guys. They're overmatched. It's pretty apparent after 4 weeks of preseason games now, these guys are overmatched, and it's going to get worse in the regular season.
That guy certainly was.
They need to do something. And I felt really so bad for the guy. You guys might not have seen it if you weren't watching the monitors last night in the press box.
Yeah,
but
we had
our mics on?
We had our mics on.
I had my mic on.
When he finished that explanation, and he couldn't get it out.
He looked frustrated.
And then he turned the mic off and he was like, like he had this look of frustration, like you want to say, damn, you idiot.
Right.
You know, why can you not speak?
Don't.
And I saw someone on Twitter actually said, this isn't a replacement officiating problem. This is a public speaking problem. he was absolutely right.
Right.
You know, I don't know all of the ins and outs of every intricate rule there is. I don't know if that interception should have been spotted at the 1 yard line at the end of the game. I've seen that called a touchback quite often. For all I know, that's the way it was supposed to be spotted. Right. I don't know. I don't know the two fouls in that play, why the personal foul went away.
Right. I thought the personal foul always overruled.
I thought, fouls always stayed.
I did too.
Right. They were automatic.
Right.
So I don't know how many of those things that they're doing are actually wrong. Those are two things last night that I thought they did wrong. One for the Patriots, one against the Patriots. But in terms of them announcing the penalties to the fans, so what?
Well, there was a memo that went around that got published yesterday. I think Jason Cole got his hands on it and published it. The league sent out to all its owners and to get ready for replacement officials in week one, that there's a standoff and no one's communicating with anyone, and sort of made the case of what's going on. That the league has offered a significant pay raise, but would like to increase the number of crews, which would, of course, decrease the number of pay per person, and also have the ability to judge these guys and, you know, put them on the sideline if they're not performing well. Now, we haven't heard what the counter is from the NFL RA, so don't know what they're asking for. But, you know, it's a tough situation. You know, and as Florio said yesterday, both sides have the right to dig their heels in. There's nothing preventing them from doing so. There's no federal mediator or anything like that forcing them to come to the table.
And I also don't think it's going to be chaos like everybody's trying to imply. I just don't. I think there'll be some mistakes. There'll be some, you know, low-hanging fruit. Come on, guys, on ESPN.
Well,
I think games will go off.
I do think games will be longer.
They may be longer.
Yeah.
Although it's not ideal.
No. Last night went by very quickly.
Well, consider all the running plays that were from both sides.
But no one's pretending it's ideal. I'm just saying it's not going to be chaos. It's not going to totally ruin
everything. I don't think so either. But
they're trying to, you know, people are claiming Andy Gray, people are going to be injured. It's chaos and this. Yeah. No, it isn't.
I actually forgot about the replacement refs until that unfortunate sequence last night.
Yeah.
You know, the last couple of games, it hasn't really been an issue.
I think there's going to be frustrating moments in every game. I think they'll
just
sort
like
it out.
Just like every other game.
Yeah, I think they'll sort it out, and eventually they'll get it right. I don't think, for example, if I don't think they would allow if that, for example, spot at the 1 yard line after the interception was wrong. I don't think they'd allow that. They're going to have NFL
observers
right. at every game, and I think that they're going to help them out with that kind of stuff. It's just going to take a little longer than it will normally.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be a discernible difference in the time of game. I know that's your very popular opinion there, Fred.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, your buddy Randy Cross said as much last night. He said, you know, be prepared for these games to go 10, 15 minutes longer. I mean, it might be longer. I don't think it's going to be anything that you would notice. Might be 2 or 3 minutes here or there. Like Eric said, last night, it's a three-hour game.
Yeah.
It's a regular game. And there was long delays. Yeah. You know, these things happen in games. I think that we just pretend that every game is just impeccable. When the regular official's there, there's no conversations, there's no disregard the flags, there's no long trips underneath the hood to watch the replay. These things happen every week. It's just that we feel better about it because we know they're the best that are available, and that's what we should have. We should have the best officials available. They don't. You got to deal with it.
Yeah.
But I'm with Andy on the player safety thing. I don't understand it.
And I still feel the same way I did. I'm for the employee, theoretically, and against the union. I think if you asked all those individual guys, okay, judge me, grade me, I'm good, I'll be fine, I'm not going to lose any money over it, I'm fine, I do my job well. But the whole idea of the union and the brotherhood and the whole, God forbid we actually be held to a certain standard, drives me crazy.
Well, I agree. We also don't know what the league is, in fact, actually asking to do. I mean, does it mean the guy gets fired? You know, so what happens when a guy has a bad game, and how many bad games do you need to lose your job?
But that's like the union mentality. Nothing.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to do anything to me.
Right. Cavern in Gainesville writes in, with the new IR rule in place, what one player can you see us using this on? How soon can that player be activated once the season begins? And Fred, I was on Kirschwords last night from my iPad. It was awesome. Great upgrade for this season. And finally, Hoyer sucks. Will he count toward the PFW curse after he's cut tomorrow? The curse got Stallworth.
Yeah, true. I think
the bottom line is we just don't get the frontline guys. I mean, you know, that's just – but although we had Gerard Mayo, and he's in no fear of being cut, so.
No, but we have to walk softly and make sure he doesn't get hurt.
The IR rule he was asking about, though, the language that was originally submitted, and I'm assuming they agreed to it, was that the player had to have, what was it, like eight weeks?
I thought it was six, but I don't know.
Eight weeks left in the season before they could activate him. I forgot exactly, but I don't know if that was the same language that they approved. So.
Oh, I know.
I don't know. But I thought it was something that he had to be on IR before
the regular season started.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's before the season starts with an injury that occurred in the preseason.
That's how I understood it.
Yeah.
But then he can't be taken off until at least 8 weeks have gone by.
I don't know what
the original language was. They may have tweaked the language, though.
You know, regardless of what the specifics are, is there a candidate?
Jeff Demps is certainly a candidate. Yeah. He's had an injury, if he's not ready to go, to develop.
Mm.
Any of the running backs, Ridley, Vereen, whatever their injury situations are, any of the running backs.
Yeah,
a tight end, Vicente Shianco.
Mm-hmm. I would actually think Vereen might be more of a candidate than Demps, only because Demps didn't look like he was that seriously hurt. He could potentially still contribute.
For the Demps thing, I'm using it as a tool so I can develop him.
No, I know what you're doing, but I'm saying just if you're just looking at it from a strict injury point, Vereen looked like he really was hurt and could use the time to recuperate.
Sure.
Demps, on the other hand, looks like he could use the snaps and the practice time to develop.
Is it too late to bring back Gaffney and use it on him? Or they do it before the season?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Yeah. All right.
And I bet you they don't know. This might
be
one
of those. Uncertainty.
Who knows?
I don't know. Ask the geniuses at the league who just dropped this on us the day before cuts.
I'll bet they don't know.
I think if you could ask him a question about that with the truth serum, he'd be very upset because that's changing a dynamic literally the day he's making his final cuts or the day before he will make his final cuts, and he doesn't care for those types of things.
Brett in Lemonster says, now that we have Cats coordinates for this upcoming weekend, I think you should start posting a picture on Facebook of each show's lunch buyer. Fred hasn't started being his typical creepy self with a girl in the studio yet.
Did you miss the beginning of the show?
So I thought I'd get him going. Well, she's the naughty librarian.
Yeah, from the third minute she was on the air.
Yeah.
She's not really, even worse, she's a naughty construction worker. She's got a tool belt and she knows how to use it.
She likes to flip buildings.
It's true.
Yeah, she'd like to hammer you.
I was going to go with nail, but okay.
You can nail or drill her anywhere you want.
All right.
See, now, she's right here.
Just so you know, I'm glad Fred was the one.
Spray your foam insulation everywhere.
Oh.
Like I said, I knew what I was getting into.
Who are you?
Same person I've been forever, so you should know.
No, you just ratcheted up a couple of notches right there.
No, but they do that.
Insulation?
Maybe you could do. They do show. Remember what's his name? The Canadian guy, Holmes. Holmes always has chicks on his crew in the background. You should become the female version of
Holmes
that.
On Holmes.
You could sell that, Fred. The naughty home flipper with the glasses.
The naughty.
You
home
look flipper. Down. You put a tight skirt on.
There is.
That's
there's a
practical.
Girl with a show.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. It's not that great though.
Oh, so you can do it better.
Yeah, see?
And just
very practical.
Do whatever you need to do to beat her.
You know,
show a little more boob, whatever you need to do.
High heels walking around.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that the way you always hang drywall?
Oh, yeah. In the nude.
Stilettos and short skirts.
Sam.
Fred gets uncomfortable.
It's really hot.
Fire a lot of
it's really hot in here.
I'm going to take my shirt off.
Sam is in
it's already
Chicago.
Halfway unbuttoned. Though.
Hey, Sam.
You know Sam, Cat? Sam's in Chicago.
Yeah, small town. No. You know, you probably... Run into a
couple
all the time.
People.
I don't know Sam.
Well, we don't know if Sam is a man or a woman, right? We
Sam's
still haven't
a man.
Established that.
Yes, we've
he's
established
a man,
that.
Baby.
We sure
Eric says disappointingly.
See, I don't even know. I'm a DirecTV NFL Sunday ticket, so I usually watch at home. But I don't even know if there's a Patriots bar. I mean, there should be.
Oh, I'm sure
it's
there
a big
is.
Big city, so I should probably be going there more frequently.
Yeah, that'd be more fun. Get out with some Pats
fans. Does your
husband
like football?
Oh yeah.
Patriots.
He's a Colts fan.
Oh,
he's from Indy.
Really?
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
So we've had some interesting rivalry
opposite
games.
I used to be.
True or false, says Sam, this Saturday, Bobby Carpenter will be on the 53-man roster.
True.
Versatile player in Patriots speak means they stink.
False.
False.
Well, it kind of means it for me. they do a lot of things.
Oh,
okay.
I thought he was talking about from the Patriots side.
Yeah,
when Bill says someone has versatility, I don't think that means he's saying
no. He doesn't think they stink, but I think that the guy he thinks doesn't stink stinks.
Danny Woodhead's job is in jeopardy with the addition of Jeff Demps.
No,
false.
Getting to Gillette Stadium on game day is fun because some genius thought a 2-lane highway was sufficient to handle a football stadium's worth of vehicles.
I have no answer to that.
Well, it's unfortunately.
And it turns into a 4-lane highway because the 4 lanes come in.
Yeah,
they just move the 1 lane way over.
They've done in cooperation with the state police and highway management. They've done as good a job as they can routing traffic on game day. You know, the egress and the
ingress.
As they
say. He was going to say egress again.
I agree that they've done as best as they could, but it is a travesty.
But everywhere has bad traffic.
Right.
Every time we come in a bus, if we didn't have a police escort, we'd be stuck in traffic.
Right,
everywhere
right.
has traffic.
Yeah, try getting in and out of Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did with our escort, and we were fine, but if we didn't...
And it was a blizzard, so no one
was
on the
blizzard.
Street.
Well, that's true. Nobody was
and the ones that were parked.
In their last two Super Bowl seasons, the Pats led in the fourth quarter a whopping 37 out of 38 games. Oh, okay. During those seasons, yet did not win a Super Bowl either year. True? Oh, it is true.
Was it a question or a statement?
Can you repeat that? That sounds like a good stat.
In their last two Super Bowl appearing seasons,
07
the Patriots led in the fourth quarter a whopping 37 out of 38 games, yet did not win a Super Bowl either year.
That's a good.
Yeah, that's a good nugget. That's actually a football thing you should care about.
That's a clipboard.
Yeah.
Or
they cut Merriweather and James Sanders and then lost the Super Bowl partly because our remaining safeties couldn't cover anyone. True or false?
James Sanders was the reason they lost the Super Bowl. True.
Well, Brandon Merriweather never could cover anyone, so.
Also true.
We still only have one legitimate safety on the roster who has yet to play all 16 games in a season and is currently injured. I think Gregory's a legitimate safety.
Yeah, false.
Yeah.
I would say we borderline have three. I'm tiptoeing into the Tavon Wilson parade.
Yeah, if we're counting Chung, he's injured.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was Chung, the one he was counting.
Right. I know, so you got to go with three.
Yeah.
Wilson had that nice hit last night.
Yes, he did.
Looked a little Eugene Wilson-like.
The Patriots will be the talk of the NFL this season, going undefeated until week 8 when they'll lose to the Rams.
They're not losing to the Rams.
False.
False.
Being labeled the best NFL offense in history will be overshadowed by Spygate.
What?
In history.
This year?
When history writes,
False.
False.
Yeah,
when
false.
The history books are written.
When the history books are written, that will always be associated with this coach, but it won't be overshadowing anything.
What does Goodell say about that? I don't think I agree with your premise.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And finally, the Tuck rule call was BS. Well, if you're from Oakland, it sure was. I mean, it was...
The call was right, the rule was wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes it BS.
But the call was right.
Right, and without it, you wouldn't have any of what we have today.
True.
Phil wants to know, to what extent do you think injury considerations play into roster management? For example, would Chung's injury history, would the Patriots be comfortable with just having four safeties on the squad?
That definitely plays into it. And it also plays into, though, like the guys you think can also play safety.
Yeah, I
McCourty,
think,
Moore, right. Any of those that you can move inside.
I agree with Andy.
But, yeah, you have to think
but
about
injuries,
that.
They impact every move you
tackle.
Make virtually.
Sebastian Vollmer, you think of him differently than if he was coming off three straight years of 16 starts.
I'll give you another one from last night, Freddie. Your boy Randy Cross was adamantly saying seven offensive linemen. Does he go with seven or eight? Seven or eight. To my knowledge, I don't think Belichick has ever gone with seven. As few as seven offensive linemen for a roster. Now, game day
is different. Yeah.
That's seven, yeah.
Yeah.
But
he's gone
I can't imagine.
Sometimes,
I can't
right?
imagine him only keeping
he's gone
seven.
Ten. I believe he's had 10 offensive linemen.
And
on the
I
roster.
Think Andy's right. With Vollmer, if he's one of your seven and you only had seven, that's really rolling the dice.
Of course, Randy Cross also said 15 spots are being fought for right now in this game. What? Where'd you get the exact number from?
And it's one of those things you just don't know if you should just dismiss it because maybe Bill used that number
in the production meeting.
Mike and Charlotte. Is Copen fighting?
Mike.
Is Copen fighting for his job?
Depends what Charlotte looks
Do
like.
We really have a better full-time
Eric
starter
would take
at
any
center
Charlotte
than,
he could
than
get.
Copen? And during the game last night on NFL Network, they said there are rumors that Waters is coming back. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Nope.
Bill was asked about it today. Said no update.
Well, there are certainly rumors.
Yeah, but rumored there was rumors.
Right.
There's always we were trading Wes Welker for a one in the Colts.
Right.
That was a rumor.
Rumors or reports? Because they're two different things.
Right. First question is Copen fighting for a job? You'd have to say yes, right?
Yeah.
I would agree.
Mikey Vandalism.
And I don't think Waters is coming back.
You don't?
I just want to go opposite Greg Bedard, and Greg Bedard thinks he's coming back. So to continue my feud with Greg Bedard, I'm saying Waters will not be back.
Stop banging the console.
I did it for effect. You did it because you're annoying.
I did not.
Mikey Vandalism in East Haven, Connecticut. What's up, guys? With hours away until we trim down to the 53-man roster, who do you think will be the surprise cut or cuts of this year?
Hoyer.
Also, who do you think makes it at cornerback, Denard or Sterling Moore?
Both.
I feel as if both have similar skill sets and are fighting for a roster spot.
It's funny how this changed because, 2 days ago, everybody was saying, is it Dennard or Cole? And now everybody, because Cole didn't play last night, assumes, look at Cole. He's already on the team. Now it's Moore and Dennard.
I think they're all going to make it.
Woodhead would be my surprise cut.
I would be surprised, yeah.
I think he saved it, though, in the third preseason game. Yeah. I was with you until then.
That's why it would be a surprise.
Paul gets really mad if you question his surprise cut.
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, I'm just having fun. I think he'll make the team. But if it's a surprise, I'll go with Woodhead.
True. But
He's also healthy.
Hoyer's a good surprise.
Which is not something
too.
That you can say for even Bolden a couple times last night. Looked like he was like limping a little or kind of.
Well, after the punt, he thought about yeah. having
an after the punt. I lost all interest in him.
After the punt, did he have a Fred Kirsch moment?
He thought about having an injury.
Yes,
and someone came
and
over and lifted
this
him up.
Monkey. Paul goes. I think he got decked, and they showed
and
the replay.
The replay.
He didn't touch him.
I said I thought that
Eugene
he's
Wilson
unbelievable.
Did.
You know, unfortunately for Andy, he wasn't actually watching, so he had to rely on my first time viewing. I thought when Demps came flying over him that he hit him. Then we watched the replay; he didn't, because Bolden turtled out of the way so he wouldn't get hit.
Yeah,
but live, I thought that he got steamrolled after he fumbled the punt.
Right,
but I don't.
But
think
Andy
he
got all over me.
Demps is hurt. No. Vereen is hurt.
I don't
Ridley's
think
hurt,
he's going to get.
And Bolden
cut.
Is an undrafted rookie. I mean, wow, that'd be a ballsy move. Unless you had somebody coming in like Ryan Grant or something.
Welker would be a surprise cut.
Yes, Tom Brady would be the biggest surprise cut possible.
Dan from England writes in, "Hey guys, Lady and Chaz, I just wanted to give some love to Deion Branch and Kyle Arrington. In my opinion, they are the two most overlooked players on this roster and have been consistent contributors the last couple of years. What are your predictions for them this season?" Deion Branch and Kyle Arrington.
I like the... assessment. Steady, I think that's very true.
Steady contributors, I think, is apt.
Because I've been saying all along, Kyle Arrington, they keep trying to replace him. And
they can't.
They can't. He won't go
He's
away.
He's going to be your starting right corner.
Right. And Deion Branch, nobody cares that he caught 50 passes for 13 whatever a catch last year. No one cares. They want to get rid of him.
Did you guys at home know, did they talk about what Brady, Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Branch were doing before the game?
They showed some clips on NFL Network of the passing catch and Brady defending Gronkowski.
Yeah, they were doing a little round robin where one guy would be quarterback, a receiver, and a cornerback, and the fourth guy would sit out, and then they would rotate. Yeah. And they kept doing that, and it was really interesting. They were having a great time. Brady actually made a nice one-handed catch, broke up a play. It was interesting. They were having a lot of fun. It was good to see. But also a good indication that they weren't going to play.
Right. Yeah. It was a lock that they weren't going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Gronkowski let Brady bat that one away?
No, because I saw a picture of Gronkowski, and the look on his face was like, I can't believe he just did that.
I couldn't believe he did it either.
Yeah.
I think Gronk was pretty well aware of staying away from Tom Brady, though.
Yeah.
I think he knows, I'm not touching him. I'm not doing anything that could possibly
hurt
a finger, anything. I'm not that dumb.
So that was kind of neat. But those are the four guys right now that you're sure of on offense. Everyone else is a question mark, including Wes Welker.
Who's the fourth one?
Branch.
Well, yeah. Hernandez.
No, I know the two tight ends and Brady, I knew, but I didn't.
As much as I love Branch and think he's disrespected, I'm not totally sure on him.
No, but we know what he's
going to
make
the
team.
We're sure of what he's going to do. You know, he'll catch his 40, 50 catches.
What's the matter, Andy? What do you have? You have something in your craw.
No, I just think he is getting older, and guys like that get old fast sometimes. And B, we forget about it because he's been durable of late, but he used to be oft injured. Deion Branch damaged, had to make sure he didn't get hurt. So
yeah, and I think that's where the inconsistency has come the last 2 years. You see him catch, you know, seven passes 1 week and, you know, one the next. I think he's generally dealt with those hamstring problems while continuing to play.
Right, his durability isn't as much of an issue because he's not on the field as much.
He's always
he doesn't have the opportunity to get hurt.
Yeah, I'm also concerned that he gets shut down a lot, and I think they could all
his hamstrings
sudden,
are always
I'm
a
sorry,
problem.
Sorry, there's a boob and bra commercial on in the background.
Jesus, he's just
the women are like 50 years old,
but they all have big cans.
Oh, God.
Who was the? Oh, never mind. The two broke girls. That's why I can't believe you don't like her.
Yeah, she's kind of chunky.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tom is in Fall River. He wants to talk about Jeff Demps. Hey, Tom.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to get your input on the upsides of Demps and Bolden. I see Demps as a more upside running back. He seems more quick to the hole, and he's got the speed. Bolden seems like he's undecided a lot of times.
Well, I think Demps is quicker. There's no doubt about it, but he's just so small. He's 185 pounds, so he's only going to do so much between the tackles. He does look good going around the end with those screen passes. And I agree with you, Bolden. He looked a little undecided. I thought he took, you know, that extra cut that he probably didn't have to. But he's got a lot of, I think, natural talent, Bolden does. And I think if he sticks, he'll have a decent NFL career. He'll never be a feature back, you know, a number one back and, you know, perennial 1,000-yard runner. But I think he can have a good, serviceable career in the NFL.
Like a, in the mold of what? Like a Sammy Morris, maybe? Or
if Sammy Morris, that would be really good.
Because Morris was a guy who just came
and
onto the
scene.
And
you think either one of them's in danger of getting cut?
Well, I think Bolden could get cut, but will make the practice squad.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and I think Demps is too intriguing to cut. I think having that guy, that dynamic guy on your bench that you can throw in there, and even if the play doesn't go to him, if you're a defense, you have to be aware of that he's on the field. I think that there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I think his kick return features will definitely come around.
It could. All right, Tom, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Tom's in Fall River.
Tom and Fred are like same plane. Yeah, same sharing a brain there. Well done, guys.
I know what you're saying there.
What?
Well, the whole thing with Demps, too, is I think he's an absolute lock for the 53, provided he's healthy.
But otherwise, he could be the IR guy.
But he's not a lock to stay all year. I think there might be a point in the season where Bill just says, you know what? Yeah, he's a one-trick pony, and he doesn't really provide that much at that one trick, and we're going to cut ties. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
If it, you know, quote-unquote, it just didn't work out. We can get back to our whole, you know, that's how we explain it all.
Or it could go the other way. Woodhead and he could both be on the team, and all of a sudden you say, well, Demps is just good, and Ridley and Vereen get healthy and are versatile in their own right. They can catch. But we don't really need Woodhead anymore. I think that could go the other way.
Cut.
Demps is interesting because I thought, you know, watching the game, I couldn't tell if it was just that he was really rusty or if he was just being a little bit tentative. Like, he didn't seem to hit his stride. You know what I mean? He kind of, he juke and he, like, go for the hole.
It's kind of just,
there you go.
The hole.
There you go, Andy.
she knew at that time.
I have to admit, even Kat gave Andy a look at it right as she said it.
But, I mean, think about it. He's 180 pounds. He came off the Olympic track with very little practice time. And all of a sudden, you're playing with the big boys. I mean, these guys are big and fast, and they're running down really fast trying to kill you. I mean, there's a change there in your mindset that needs to come.
Sure.
That's why I'm thinking he stays the whole season. I think they're going to want to keep him, develop him.
He will
him.
Need to prove himself to stay the whole season.
Oh, yeah. No,
otherwise, he'll
I think
end up
he
on
will,
IR
too, because I think he's an intriguing talent. Yeah. I don't think that guys like that just grow on trees. That's a special speed that he has and a special gift to
play. You weren't talking about them getting rid of him. You were talking about them taking him off the roster.
Yeah, probably
because I could see that if he drops a punt, you know, his kickoffs are just kind of blah. He's doing this, and then
maybe
he's not really playing in the
backfield. Maybe he's wearing down with some of the contact that he's taken. He's a small guy. And as you said, he's not really prepared for football heading into this. He
never has been.
Track.
He's always been a track guy who
after
the spring, I show up for football, and I'm always behind, but he's a good enough athlete. Well, now he's going to be a full-time if he stays dedicated to it, a full-time football player year-round, bulk up a little bit. Maybe he's up to 190 pounds by next, all of that stuff. He's now a football player, but he needs to get to that point, and there's going to be a process involved.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world.
And the second most attractive lunch buyer who's been in studio.
Second most.
Said Kat was the most while you were worried about her
dirty
glasses. Not surprisingly, Andy is interested in the guy, though, in his looks.
No, I'm just interested in him keeping buying us
French.
Lunch.
Right.
Because
it's
Fred?
Always on his mind.
Oh, jeez. Isn't that a fact? Isn't it always on all men's minds?
What? How the other
not
guys
other
look? It's not on
just
my
sex.
Mind.
No, not
just
at all.
Sex.
Yeah. Kevin's not giving me,
with
Kevin is giving
oh,
me
no,
a thumbs
not
up.
With men. No. When did I say with men?
All the time.
When?
You just seem to always be thinking about men's anatomy.
Yeah, you said James was attractive.
Just so you know, the it and it's always on his mind.
His penis?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought sex.
Oh, really?
Roethlisberger's
is
pretty
now
bad.
You know.
I liked it better when I thought it was sex, not
so
penis.
You get it.
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry.
James says the history of the NFL has been littered with bad decisions, some of which have become integral to the game, the Immaculate Reception, the Music City Miracle, and, of course, the Tuck Rule game. Do we have a Patriots-sanctioned name for this game yet, Fred? The replacement rest will be fine, and both teams have to deal with it, so hardly favors one side or the other. Great hosting job the other day, Andy. My favorite part was Chris with a TIAN. Calling in with Andy's first three contributions, you're a bitch, suck my what, lick my what, classic. Peace out.
And once again, that was to Christian. a man. So
right. Peace out. Thanks for sharing the load, librarian. No, Andy. Not
what?
In that way.
Now, even I took offense to that one.
I got to give Kat credit, though, because not only would I never do something like this, I would, if I was a woman and our show, like, there is no way in hell I would show up and put myself through this
why?
Awkward it's experience.
The other part
she has the personality to do it, but I would no way.
The other part that it would be interesting is just to see how much trouble Andy, Fred, and I would be in if our significant others ever listened to the show on a consistent basis.
Oh, it's all in good fun.
And Fred goes, ooh.
Yemi,
yeah, because you did.
Beth would start off for about 15 minutes laughing, and then spend the hour and 45 minutes saying, I can't believe I'm married to you.
Not to mention her husband allowed her to do this.
That's true, too.
He's okay.
How come he's not coming on the trip here?
Yeah, I'm thinking he's probably listening today. But
what's his name?
His name is Dominic.
Hi, Dominic.
Why is he not?
I bet you he knows people.
He's
zipping
he's
it.
A little sojourn back
what is that supposed to? Did you hear what he just said?
No.
Making fun of the Italians.
What did he say?
He said, I bet he knows
fear
people.
Fear the Italians. He probably knows people. I'm zipping it.
You should zip it.
Yeah,
no, not from you.
He's working to build that house, so. Only so many days off you can take.
So what does he do?
He is a financial engineer.
He's in waste management.
A financial engineer.
Yeah.
That means he's a CPA?
No. No. It means that he works for a private
outfit. I think you may be right.
It's hard to describe.
Yeah.
It's a family-owned business.
We have a better
say
chance
it's Ponzi scheme. We built pyramids of money.
So in the storefront that he operates out of, do you sell like sausage?
No. No.
I think Andy's right about this.
Yemi from Texas writes in,
dogs and sausages.
Do you guys feel bad for Wes Welker? It seems like he will never maximize his earning potential in the NFL.
Did you say no over there?
That five-year
hey, just so you know, that was Eric, not Paul.
That five-year contract he signed with us really screwed him. Many undrafted free agents who became elite players have made much more money than Welker.
How could a five-year contract where he went from being almost a nothing, a nobody, a third-string guy on a horrible team mm-hmm. to being one of the best wide receivers in the league, how could that possibly screw him?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
He didn't make market value.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. He's still a millionaire.
I'm disappointed
many
in
times
you,
over.
I expected more
I expected
you.
This from Eric Negativino.
She's a woman of logic and reason,
well,
and she sees the logic and reason.
Apparently women see this a certain way and men see it another way.
And you don't see it at all.
Good comeback.
I'm not saying he shouldn't get paid.
It's very hard for anybody in the NFL who starts off low to get up in that stratosphere. It's just because they started. You know, Brady is an exception. You know, a lot of people compare
partly
him to Manning.
Partly because of his position.
A lot
mostly.
A lot of people compared him to Manning in that, you know, oh, he should be paid the same amount and so on and so forth. But because Manning was the first overall pick and from day one started up here, you know, it was tough for Brady to catch up.
But I don't understand how you can't feel a little bit bad for a guy who sees crappy players making like $50 million that he knows can't hold my jock, will never put up numbers like I do. I don't know how you cannot feel bad for that, and especially given the circumstances where he very easily could have gotten a second contract had he not gotten injured and torn his ACL that
well,
year.
Well,
that's the part.
That is all. Yeah. He is snake-bitten in this situation.
That's the
and
part
that
I really him. That's the part yeah. I really feel bad for him about, because that's when he would have been in line to get the deal. That
yeah.
he doesn't. I don't think he's going to ever get.
Yeah, his timing that screwed up his timing.
But the $18 million that we gave him, as Kat said, when he was on Miami and you know he caught 60 some odd passes that year, we gave him more money than he had earned to that point in his career.
Right.
So I don't feel bad for him for that contract, even though he outperformed the contract. I mean, any fool could admit that he outperformed the 5-year $18 million contract. But he had really done nothing to deserve that contract to that point.
Yeah, but that happens all the time in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that I hold it against him or anything.
It's even rarer that a guy who doesn't really deserve a contract blows that contract out of the water and deserves that much more.
That's the part where I feel bad for him.
He's getting hosed.
Is the ACL in 09, I have to think that he would have been in line to get something along the lines of what he was looking for.
Probably not, though,
last
because
summer.
There wasn't a philosophical shift yet, and they hadn't paid people early yet, according to Greg Bedard.
See, but that's why they hate you.
He's going to get paid at the end of this year from one team or another.
I don't think he's going to get
and
what
he's still,
you think.
He's going to get like $7 million.
Oh, just $7 million.
This isn't real world. Don't bring your jealousy of Wes Welker and what he's accomplished in life into this debate.
Just because your art doesn't sell for $7
million. Here we go.
I know. He said he.
No, but anybody who brings that to the table, real world mentality. Okay, yeah, then he's gifted. I mean, but I'm looking at it the other way. He's getting screwed compared to all these other jackasses.
And that's how you have to compare
it. Money.
He's made $27 million over the last 6 years.
Right.
I mean, no, he's not going to be in a soup kitchen. We understand that. But Andy's point is.
And Dallas Thomas made 35 and never did a damn thing.
Well, that would be one.
Ding, 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 ding.
I think you were talking about all the receivers.
And was an a-hole.
You know, the $50 million receivers that have come along since then. I'm a little bit different than Andy. But
Albert Haynesworth,
never going to come close to the production. Those guys are never going to approach Wes Welker's production, and he didn't get. He got 27. He got
Jamarcus Russell.
Half
proved
of what those
anything.
Guys got.
You guys think Welker didn't deserve the contract he got? Jamarcus Russell pocketed $40 million for drinking purple drank.
He's a quarterback.
It doesn't
matter.
It's unfair to Wes Welker. But Welker got screwed. That's the bottom line.
But the Russell thing.
I didn't say it was a mistake.
Hold on.
And he also earned that out of college.
Hold on. I didn't say it wasn't unfair.
He earned the right to be the number one player. I mean, even though it was a bad pick.
Exactly. There's a difference.
Now, do you think...
Wes, I love you, bro.
Do you think given the chance for a better contract, he would go someplace else, or do you think he would rather stay here in New England and accept a little? See, that's the other thing too. You know,
he's getting screwed because he likes it here and he's a good guy.
Well,
I'd have to see.
He's not a money hungry douche.
You asking me what he would rather do?
You asking
me? I'm saying,
me?
Would he? Yeah, would he rather stay here and take a little less money or a lot less money? Or
yeah,
go
no, I don't
else?
Think I don't think a lot less.
Yeah,
I don't think
a lot.
You
less.
Didn't say a lot less when you asked me.
That's why I asked to clarify. I think
well,
he would
I'm
be willing
both,
to take a little
one.
Less. But...
Give me an example. Give me a contract here and elsewhere.
I mean, look at like Deion Branch, right?
Right.
When he had that contract in Seattle. And
$36
course,
million or something.
He wasn't any good, right? So what do we think Welker wants? We think he wants like 8?
3 years, $30 million.
Yeah, I think he wants about $10 million a year.
Yeah.
You think? Oh, really? You think he wants that much?
We think. We don't know, though. That's the other thing we've always talked about on the show, Kat.
It's hard to know.
We don't know what the divide is. You know, that's one of the problems with
this
situation.
There's been so many different things reported that it's hard to know which ones are accurate.
Okay, so do you think he'd go back to Miami for 9.5 or stay here for 8?
I think he'd stay here.
I think he'd stay here for
if they're similar, three years, nine.
I think he'd stay here for 8
because he wants to have fun and be with Brady and win Super Bowls. And
yeah, exactly.
So he's a good guy. He's getting
screwed
by the system.
Well, but if it was like 2 years for $20 million as opposed to like 4 years for 40, I think he'd be gone.
Or two years for 16.
I guess my point though is that he does have a choice to some extent in the matter.
Well, not yet. He doesn't.
Well, no. Right now, he doesn't with the franchise. Yeah.
He did. I know what you're saying. He did. And he could have accepted whatever the...
Or he could have been a douche and tried to kick his way out of town and fight everything. But that's not him. He's a nice guy. He's a productive guy. He's a hard worker. He's everything you want, but you don't want to pay because you shouldn't, because he's old.
He's
all
those
things. The best is in the past.
He's all those things. It's not necessarily fair, but I don't feel badly for him and his situation.
You should.
I don't.
It's typical.
He's set for life. I don't feel bad for people who are set for life.
God squatters.
There's no reason to feel bad for anyone who is set for life, and he is set for life. Period. End of story. Next topic, Fred.
Wow.
Oh.
Somebody dropped.
Eric.
He dropped right before our eyes. I'm so proud. It's nuts. They just dropped.
I mean, there's no sense of talking about sports then.
Right.
In any regard.
Did Welker tell you he was going to vote Democrat? Eric, is that why you're upset with
him? It wouldn't bother me one bit because I'm neither Republican nor Democrat, as you know, Fred.
God,
never have been, never will be.
You're like the
never have been, never will be.
You are such a staunch conservative.
No, that's inaccurate.
Staunch.
That is
staunch.
That is inaccurate, my friend.
Inaccurate.
I mean, can't be that conservative.
Actually, the older I've usually the older you get, the more conservative you get. They say. I think it's been the opposite case with me.
Okay.
You're more liberal now.
Than I was. Yeah, I think so.
In your lifestyle?
Oh. Here we go. Robert
with
writes
your
in.
Your wife, maybe, but.
Yeah, no.
talk all you want about the insignificance of preseason. This team seems out of sync offensively, and the defense actually seems to have more cohesion. Since most of us don't see practice, does the total picture, games plus practice, give a better overall view of the beginning of the season? Andy and Paul only, no Eric.
Who's this asshole?
Oh! Oh!
He's suspended. Eric! That's a suspension.
Eric. You can't say that. You
can't do that. We can show off because there's a girl in the room.
Robert,
Wait, we didn't answer the email.
I agree with what Robert's saying, and I was in practice.
No, Robert's the A-hole.
There were days right. where the offense just never dropped the ball, and right. defense couldn't cover him.
Right.
So, but you know.
It's all about expectation. We expect perfection from the offense and crap from the defense, and they've been in the other direction.
The defense was much more competitive in this camp, I think, than the recent camps that we've seen.
Sure.
But, like I said, it is preseason to me.
But how competitive were they because, like, Gronk wasn't on the field and this guy wasn't? And the offense every day, they would go through different. I remember, like, it was Lloyd, Gronk, and Hernandez were off the field, like, a couple days in a row.
Oh, yeah. And those were some of the worst days. No question. But.
You throw to Alex Silvestro and see how cohesive you are.
I just
no
felt,
offense, Alex. I love
it. Nice I felt like there
night.
Were more.
And SWAT. He turned from offense to defense very quickly there. Two-way player.
You know, I'll play your side of the street. I'm not Eric Bedard, so I don't have the complete statistics from training camp. So I don't know if the numbers would bear this out.
Eric, but, I mean, Greg, we still like you.
We still love you.
Doesn't sound like
but you. I don't. To me, it seemed like there were more interceptions in this camp and more passes defensed in this camp. And without question, more plays that would have been blown dead for sacks in this camp than in the last 3 years combined. I mean, like you said, Fred, to your point about days when the ball just never hit the ground, that's the way camp was in like 2010. You know, I think, right. What was the year that you said that Brady's never been better? Last year, 11?
I think it was last year, yeah.
I mean, that you couldn't make that statement this year by any right. means. And part of that was Brady, too, by the way, not just you know, backup quarterbacks or, you know, guys being out. I thought the defense was more competitive in this camp than it has been recently, and that has sort of carried into the games. I'm just not concerned because of the mindset going in. I don't know what you're doing. I think this is a very preparation-oriented team. It's a game plan-oriented team, and they're going to get opponent-specific during the regular season in a way that they wouldn't even approach in the preseason.
Well, that's true. They'll get those matchups. And
the other teams do it, too. That's why I don't want to get lost.
This team is uniquely, you know, suited to exploit those matchups because of Gronkowski and
well,
Hernandez.
They may be. But what I'm saying is I also don't want to get too lost on the positive side. I'm giving the offense a pass, but I don't want to just say we got the defense licked. Because I don't know what the other offenses are doing against them either. They might be running plays that they go to the line, and Eli Manning says, you know what? Cunningham's probably going to come free here because this guy's not going to get over to block. But it's preseason or whatever. You know, and plays that they would check out of in regular season or have a better plan going into a play in a regular season game, you know?
You know, and you know, you're going up on defense, you're going up against an offense that knows in preseason, that knows it's going to have three or four series. So they're trying to make the most out of every series. They know they're not going to be able to get into a flow. You know, so that affects it. But I think once the season starts, we've seen in the NFL, you know, quarterbacks who are not even near the level of Tom Brady can get into rhythms. And, you know, when you're spreading a team out in the NFL, I don't care if it's the Patriots or the Baltimore Ravens, you can have success pretty much against any team. The thing is, you got to, Brady said, string those plays together.
It's the preseason. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
That's, I mean, I can't get past that. You just don't know how seriously it's being treated.
And I think it was you the one day who goes, wouldn't it be a great story if the defense was just awesome, dominant, like the number one defense in the NFL?
And we couldn't
the
score.
The offense wasn't
we
good.
We turned
at
into
all.
Like the 2000 Ravens. Well, you know, no one could score on us, but we couldn't move the ball.
Mark in the UK says, all right, lads, and Andy, regarding your O-line worries, which you've mentioned in the past few weeks, I believe you're all worrying over nothing. I'm a Dolphins fan, but I listen to PFW as it's far better than anything the Dolphins offer.
Except and for their cheerleaders.
And I'm worried about our O-line. I'd gladly swap O-lines with the Patriots. Then you'd have a reason to panic. Quick season prediction for
tackle.
You guys. Pats go 13-3. Dolphins go 4-12. Keep up the good work, Fred and Eric, and keep talking rubbish, Andy and Paul.
The poor guy
what is that
telling
rubbish?
You
what do we
he's mean? A Dolphins fan, and you laugh when he says 4-12.
Well, that's pretty
6 or 7 wins they're going to win.
I mean, you're a fan of your team, and you call up the opposing team's radio and predict your team's going to go 4-12.
He's called a realist.
Well, yeah,
he's
but
probably
it's,
watched Hard Knocks and seen their lack of receivers.
He's not Fred's kind of fan.
I feel bad.
If Fred were a Dolphin fan, he'd be predicting 13-3.
This Tannehill. This Tannehill, I'm feeling
tough schedule, 13-3.
No, I'd have switched teams by now.
That is true. He would have switched to a good team. He's done it many, many times in his life.
How many times was that?
I don't know. Every time we bring somebody
You don't know much.
The Dolph. I mean, the.
You don't know from.
Every time we bring somebody up, you rooted for them when they were good. The Mets and the Jets and the Broncos.
When I lived in New Jersey and I was a little kid, I rooted for the home teams.
So how'd you root for the Broncos?
You're a Jets fan at heart. Because you always go back to the way you felt as a child.
No.
You're a Jets first fan.
No, I always
Wait till we tell Mr. Kraft.
I always had a thing for the AFC West for something. Willie Lanier.
What did you
want?
Now
he picked the whole division.
Now he wants the dated division. I always had a thing for the AFC West.
Willie Lanier, is that what
I like the way Randy Gratishar filled out a uniform.
He did.
Jeez. It's always on his mind.
Chris with a T-I-N
writes
in.
Now Andy's mad about that. Now he knows that the
didn't know it was penis.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
You're the one who tells.
No, all I.
told me what the it was.
I talked about a division in the NFL.
And he said you wanted to date him.
And Andy breaks it down to a penis.
No, he said you wanted to date him.
I said you wanted to date the division the way you said. I always had a thing for the AFC West.
I remember when Andy used to travel. And we'd get to New York.
Now it's like the grand
way
old
back in the old days.
We'd be in New York and he would just stare at that Empire State Building. Now I know why.
No, it was Judy Batista.
Oh.
I had a thing for her. I'm not going to lie. Oh. Unlike Fred, I can admit these things.
What do you mean
had? I haven't seen her in a while. I don't know how she look.
Was she there last night?
Same as always.
And what does that mean, Eric? She looks like a very nice woman.
Was she there
last
night?
Yes,
she's an extremely nice woman. But she wasn't there last night?
I didn't see her.
He's just an animal magnetism.
You can say, hey, Judy. Andy says, hey.
Who? Andy says, hey, girl.
Stalker who?
Christian writes in, guys and Kat, nice game of pickup football last night, huh? Brady had some nice moves on Gronk. Eric, you're right. This was the real game. Speaking of real games, this whole ref issue thing is funny. In August, as the refs was stuttering, the camera went to the – oh, okay. As the ref was stuttering – the camera went to the sideline and got a shot of Connolly mocking him with Copen and Mankins laughing. Also showed Brady and company laughing as well. I wonder if they'll be laughing come the regular season when the ball is spotted wrong or too much time is taken off the clock. I know I won't. Get it fixed, NFL. And Andy, your mother will be home late tonight. Don't wait up.
Well done.
Good stuff.
Talk about wives listening. What if my mother ever listened?
Oh, she doesn't.
I think even at this at her advanced age, I think my mother could take me out by the woodshed if she ever heard this show.
Ginger snaps.
All right.
Steve from Winchester wants to know, based on his best preseason accolades from Bill Belichick, where is Jermaine Cunningham on the depth chart?
Backup.
Yeah, he comes in situations.
I would say he's third at defensive end.
Yeah, and I don't know that he's coming in those situations yet.
Jones are the starter. Jones. He's next. Your boy Trevor Scott has done nothing. If he makes the roster, it's as a charity case.
Clearly, they're trying to develop this inside thing, this Jarvis Green, Mike Wright kind of thing, because I'm not sure Ninkovich and Jones are coming off on their diet. Right?
No.
Jones is a three-down player. I think that we know.
Oh, no.
And I think, I think Ninkovich is going to stay on, too. So. Yeah. Maybe he is one of the inside pass rushers. I'm not even sure he has a specific role yet.
He also could end up as your starting left defensive end.
Absolutely could.
Still not sold, despite how mad Ninkovich got at me when I questioned whether he could hold up. I'm not sure he can hold up.
Robin in Alaska
writes
in, he says that Welker screwed himself. The Patriots aren't douches. Contrary to popular opinion, we rational people know the Patriots will pay. In addition, they felt fine giving Welker $9 million this year and paid well on his previous contract when acquired through trade. From Welker's own mouth, earlier this offseason, the Patriots dealt with his contract early and offered a deal he turned down. Welker then says all other offers got lower. Only one conclusion can be drawn. Welker screwed himself. We don't even need to know what was offered because it's established the Patriots aren't douches and their actions show they were willing to make Welker one of the guys.
Well, what? I disagree wholeheartedly with the last part of that. What if it was less than what he got? I don't remember. First of all, I don't remember Welker saying they gave me an offer. I turned it down. And
There was a tweet that he said.
No, remember, I know that report, but I don't remember Welker saying that. 2-16 is less than what he got.
Right. And then he said offers. I thought it was a thing of this, and the offers actually got worse or something. He said that.
But then he
and then he took that back.
Yeah. Well, that's just because
He was torn at that point. Number what am one, I doing here? Am I going all in on this negotiation?
But he didn't say the 2-16. The report was 2-16. That's what I'm saying. It didn't come out of his mouth, as this guy said.
Yeah, but
now if it was 2-16,
I think he confirmed the report in that
story. If the offer that he turned down was 2-16, I would have turned it down too. And he got more than that. He got 9.5, and he knew he had 9.5.
Right. And the first by the year. Way, they didn't give him, they franchise tagged him. If they didn't do that, he could be on another team right now making $10 million a year for 3 years. So they didn't give him, out of the kindness of their right. hearts, $9 million. That was the rule that was their fallback.
Eric's ready to spit on him.
I agree the Patriots
He's
dealt with
at
him.
The mouth. He's really upset with Wes Welker.
I'm not upset with Wes Welker.
You demanded that we stop talking about this and slam your hands down on the table.
And then said a swear.
That's not being mad at Wes Welker. It's being mad at you.
Jonathan in Florida says, isn't it likely also that Welker is getting...
You did! It's funny. That sounds like a fifth grade thing. You said a swear. You
used the A word.
Did. He is in fifth grade. You haven't figured that out yet?
No, you're right.
The world's biggest fifth grader.
This is just a continuation of his playground days when he used to get pushed around. Now he's trying to push back. That's all it is.
Him and Dale Arnold.
It's true. This was
fifth grade. I was going to say, why don't you ask her? She's the expert in the room in that
he
area.
He was scarred psychologically as a child, and he's never recovered.
Don't ask her.
Stop!
Cat? No?
You haven't done that?
No, I try not to.
In your spare time?
You ruin it for you?
Yes, exactly.
You psychoanalyze this? It's a lot of darkness in there, and all of us.
I'm sure.
Jonathan in Especially Florida, Eric. Isn't it
yourself.
Likely also
There's
that
a lot of darkness in there. Don't you deny
Not
it.
Not at all.
See, that's the problem. He denies it. That means it's in there. Fred and I, we know we're a little off.
Oh, yeah.
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
I'm as effed up as they
Stop
can.
Stop banging the console.
Can't help it when he makes me laugh. Jonathan of Florida will try this again. Isn't it likely also that Welker is getting endorsement deals off the field that he would not be getting if he played elsewhere?
Yep, $150 million, actually.
If he played for another team and his receptions dropped into the 70s, his phone would not be ringing with companies offering him some free money for photo shoots and commercials or endorsing hair transplants or Depends. So
those glorious ad campaigns.
So I would think giving up $1 million a year on the field could easily be made up with that kind of stuff staying in New England. He has to realize that, right? Because of this, it leads me to believe the gap the two parties are failing to bridge is not necessarily the annual salary as much as the numbers of years offered. Your thoughts?
It's everything.
He could be
the
right.
The gap is everything.
Yeah. And P.S. Jonathan says Kat sounds hot.
She is hot.
It is term,
How
and
old
it
are
is
you?
Money.
30.
She's young and hot. Younger than me.
She's a child.
She's definitely more mature.
Child
than
compared to me.
Well, yeah. And Eric and Fred. I'm the only one in the ballpark in this room.
Fred.
That hurts Eric a little bit. He's just going to take the
husband?
Rest of the show off.
He's my age.
It's too bad. Can he beat up Eric?
Yes.
Oh. No, but Eric will disappear.
He probably wouldn't, but he could.
Eric would be found in the river.
Eric was hoping
Actually,
for a 42 with
I
that
think
answer.
He and Eric
right
would probably get along pretty well.
Yeah. You know, Eric has a
so
black
he's smart
belt.
And talented and creative.
So
and
your
a
husband's
nice guy and likes animals.
I don't like your a fraud.
Your husband,
a pompous a-hole.
Pompous and arrogant.
You do know that Eric has a black belt.
It has nothing
to do with, you know, martial arts, but he's got a black belt.
I'm wearing it right now, actually.
He could still take him. He was a hockey player.
Oh,
I never thought he was I was never like overwhelmed by him, or he's like 6'1".
You mean like an NHL
I'm
hockey
only,
player,
only,
or just like a
no? Although people he played with are on our
NHL teams,
our semi pro team. Oh. Some of the guys that he played with, but no, I never was really scared of him until I saw him check someone, and then I went, "Holy crap!"
It's probably good. That means he's a good guy and hasn't raised his hand at you.
No, he never would.
Jamal writes in.
Throw plates at him like in the Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Jamal says, work Whatever. Schedule has kept me from listening live and writing in, but hey. Anyway, three questions. One, is it possible that we could trade off players for draft picks to cut down on bodies for the 53-man roster? I guess you could, but...
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the pregame social. Yeah, they do it a lot. Some jag on the bottom, you know, Ryan Wendell, no offense, Ryan, but, you know, you get a conditional sixth-round pick from some team that needs a guard. Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't even work out. That guy then gets cut by that other team. You don't get a pick.
We actually had someone bring up on the pregame social, Patrick Cobbs. Remember him, running back?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the person brought up Cedric Cobbs.
But
was talking about Patrick.
They were talking about Patrick, who we traded at this time. to Pittsburgh in like 06 mm-hmm. for a conditional pick that we didn't get because he didn't make Pittsburgh.
Then he ended up in Miami.
Made some plays there, too. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Cunningham has shown enough to start on the opposite side of Chandler Jones this year?
Possibly.
Unless Andre Carter comes back.
Hey, listen, the way Belichick is talking about him, look out. You know, what did he say today, Eric, when you were on the conference? Playing at a higher level? Something like that?
Yeah, I think that was the...
Carter, you mean?
No.
Jones? Cunningham?
Cunningham.
Well, it's not hard to play at a higher level. He was a healthy scratch last year.
And finally,
negative.
He says,
negative. "Truth is never mean."
Negative.
Finally, Jamal says, "Brian Waters has been a no-call, no-show all summer. Do we really want a guy that feels he can just show up when he wants, not put in any work, and still start?
Nope.
Is that the kind of message we should be sending to the young players?
Nope. If he can make the Pro Bowl again like he did last year, then yeah.
Oh, so it's all about the talent being the
it's
rest.
It's about
of it.
Winning games.
If he's
yeah.
going to keep Brady from getting
exactly.
sacked all the time, then yeah.
Exactly.
I'm with Andy, but here's my stipulation. I don't know what the conversations have been like between Brian Waters and the team. If this was something that they truly worked out ahead of time and they have had, unlike the email says, constant communication, then I have no problem with them coming back.
I do.
And getting ready to go.
States sets a bad precedent.
If this was truly, I just don't want any part of being in training camp, and I'll let you guys know, and I'm trying to, whatever, get more money, I'm with Andy. You know, we'll move
but
on.
But even if it's worked out,
we'll
what happens
on.
When next year Vince Wilfork goes, I'm not coming to camp this year. You're better with Vince Wilfork. You need him. It's about winning games, Eric said. And then, you know, Logan Mankins will go, if he's not coming, I'm just as good as him and just
yeah,
as valuable.
But a guy like
it's a slippery
Wilf-
slope.
I
it
think
is.
At this point, though, a guy like Wilfork has... You know, I think he has a sense of responsibility. This is his team.
Maybe,
you know,
because he's a good, right-minded man.
Well,
but
that's the way, you know.
The bottom line is none of these guys want to put in 30 days out
oh,
on a hot practice
no
field of banging.
No doubt. Right. And I think, you know, probably right. next year, you know, Bill has done this before with the veterans. He gives them days off.
He has never just show up when you want.
No. It's,
and that's
it's,
what people
it's
are
managed.
Claiming.
No, but
most people think, Greg Bedard, they
no, but
those
Water,
people think this was pre-planned
Waters,
and he's just coming.
Waters has... a history of this.
Yes.
This isn't the first
time.
It doesn't
time make
he's
it right.
It. No, it doesn't. But I don't think Wilfork's like that.
But word in Kansas
City. No, but
City
if Randy
is...
Moss doesn't want to do it, then Randy Moss is a punk, diva,
yeah.
prima donna, lazy
Andy's right. It's
a-hole.
It is a
But he can
slope.
Do it because he goes to the Pro Bowl and he's a nice guy. And I just think it's a double standard. Either you're on this team and you show up and you do the work that makes you part of this team or you don't.
Nobody said he wasn't being a jerk about it, but. If
well,
he
then
can
I don't
help
want
you
him.
Win games.
I don't want him.
Yes.
Sometimes that principle is correct.
And I agree with Andy on that. It's not, to me, just about...
Remember Paul's high school coach who let him show up after, like, two-a-days? He was a terrible coach. It was the worst and only losing era of Everett High history. There's a reason for that. The guy was a bad coach.
5-5.
Whatever. It was the low point in the history of a 100-and-blank-year program that's always been good.
Can't argue
and there's,
any
it's
of
not
that.
A coincidence. When you allow stupid stuff like that to happen... It has long-lasting ramifications. Not directly. You know, you don't necessarily say, well, Ryan Wendell's not as good, so this guy... But stuff happens, and like I said, it's a slippery slope, and all of a sudden, you're not the team you should be.
That's not the one that didn't necessarily have to be on the air. But anyway, Jason LaConfora clears up something for us that we were talking about earlier. Player must be on IR / designated for return. Must be on IR 6 weeks before returns to practice, at least 8 weeks till he's active.
So we were both right. Six and eight.
Six and eight in there, yeah.
So if he's right, that would be the numbers.
What if he doesn't return?
6 weeks before you can start practicing, 8 weeks before you can play. So.
But it says you have to designate him for return, but what if he doesn't return? Did you then break the rule or something?
No, I would assume.
Then you have to do something with him.
I would assume it.
And maybe he would move to the other IR?
Yeah.
Didn't work out. But if you only get one player, right, that's the way that originally was presented to us.
Yeah.
One player can be on this. So you better be right.
Right.
You better not waste it on a guy who can't come back.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, Paul, you nailed it with the two broke girls, Kate Dennings reference, or is it Kat Dennings?
Kat.
Andy,
Kat too. Another Kat?
Andy, nobody cares what you say. She's the hottest chick on TV, bar none. Her body totally destroys. She's voluptuously built like Mae West and also has the same old-school, wisecracking, tough dame personality.
By hottest on TV?
I,
that's ridiculous.
I don't think I shared the views on this.
I mean, this is a gay man,
I was
so
surprised
his views
that,
on women
I was
are not
surprised
really...
You didn't like her because
I didn't
she
say
had
like,
certain things that you tend to look for.
I know. I'm passionate about breasts, and she has large
two
breasts.
In particular.
But
that's why I was surprised that you didn't like
she's
her.
She's kind of... She's a little big.
She's built like Fred a little bit.
That show's
she's
funny.
Kind of big through the shoulders.
That show's very funny, but makes me uncomfortable at the same time.
I've never seen it.
Like every single joke is a sexual innuendo.
Oh,
every
I should
single
watch it.
One. Oh God, yeah. You'd have more. You'd actually bring some adult humor to the show in the future if you watched it.
Anyway, he says.
Right now, as Fred says, you're in the fifth grade.
I'd like
and
to
people
say
seem
that
to like it.
I'd like to say that yesterday was a banner day with Eric gracing the city with his impeccable presence, and Fred Kirschberg was
him?
A test in endurance last night.
You better not.
But
have.
I stuck it out until the bitter end, regardless.
He saw Lady Liberty. They had a rendezvous.
Yes, Eric went on a Statue of Liberty cruise yesterday.
Yep, and Ellis Island
out in the harbor.
It was awesome.
Nice. Meet anybody?
All right, a lot of people asked me to take their pictures.
Why?
I get that
you
all
have
the
a sign,
time.
I'll take your picture.
No, but I do.
He's always alone.
He walks around with his professional camera.
That's
he's a
one
photographer.
Reason. Yeah. I also get asked for directions everywhere.
We have a big nose.
I don't think that's that
you
odd.
Do too? No, that's the big nose because the direction in men is supposedly
it's
like the zinc or the iron. No, men have more iron in their nose, and that's why they're considered to have better
senses of
direction.
Is that why I never
direction.
Know where I am?
And you have a very large nose, so you'd have more iron.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know.
That's the weirdest thing I've
ever
heard.
Look it up, and
don't
it's
you think
fact.
He hears things?
Oh, I know he hears things,
but I'm a reporter.
I got to defend Eric a little bit here. I don't think it's odd that he has a camera and people ask him to take pictures.
Yeah, but not with your camera, right? With their camera.
That would be weird.
No, but
my email address is.
Yes, but people know he's. I think people recognize that.
If you have a camera, you're not taking
No, because I think people recognize that he's a photographer.
That I have some sort of ability
wannabe
to take
anyway.
Pictures.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not
you
professional.
You hold up the phone and you take the picture.
Oh, no.
I don't think it would just go up
to anybody with a phone.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that.
I think you see a guy with a camera, you know that he takes a lot of pictures.
Right.
And that's the guy you pick out of the crowd to ask, right. I would think. You're going to ask somebody if you're
exactly.
on vacation.
There were thousands of people
I'm
going to
pick the guy who
about,
has the camera.
And I got asked half a dozen times to take people's pictures yesterday.
And I'm not overly surprised by that. That's all. Sorry.
And I don't want to be mean. I think it's because he's alone.
I don't mind. Well, that's part of it.
I don't think people, if there's like
a
father and three kids, they don't want to interrupt him.
No question.
But they see you strolling around with your, why wouldn't he take my picture? He's got nothing better to do.
Absolutely. No question. It's a combination of both of those things.
Makes sense. I think it would be funnier though if they asked you to take it with your, and then you were like, you know, the small town photographers at like the local parade and they have to ask, so what's your name?
Right.
That you'd have to take a list of every photo you took and email it to them. Be a little business. Charge like $2. Sell more than your art.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
Gotta get back
progress.
To a rocket show.
It's 2 o'clock. Kat, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Have a good trip up to Maine.
Thank you.
On the bus.
On the bus.
Yeah. That's a tough.
Thanks
Make
for
sure
lunch.
You go before you leave.
Tough.
Yes. Don't drink too much either.
Cuts are tomorrow. What time?
Yeah. By nine.
9 o'clock. So
ish. That's okay. The deadline.
Checkpictures.com about Saturday at noonish.
All right. So we'll be putting out a paper tomorrow and. Next week, we'll be back at on Tuesday, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.